Oh man, have you seen that funny Magic the Gathering podcast is back?
Oh no way, man. You're making my nips all hard. What's their name again?
What is up, you donkey humpers? I'm Kevy Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
And welcome to Heavy Meta.
No, it wasn't those guys. It's like them, but like not as funny.
Oh yeah, and I know who you're talking about.
In 2010, a Heavy Meta copycat was sent to prison by an LSV fan cast for a deck they tried to submit. These men promptly escaped from a huge dick-at-my-ass stockade to a Canadian poutine palace. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as an unfunny podcast. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you have the app on your phone, maybe you can delete the A-Team.
KYT.
Yeah, have you guys played Moto? Yeah, I'm not going to talk for the rest of the episode.
Jay Boosh.
I hate everything. Hey, do you guys want to talk for an hour about my Boo set?
And Scotty Mack.
All right, guys. Geist of St. Traff in Modern doesn't work, so I'm just going to stop playing Magic.
No, it's not them either. I mean, these guys are still around. They lost a couple members.
Oh, yeah. Stupid.
Welcome, everyone, to a very special episode of Brainstorm Brewery. It's episode 129. Let me welcome my special guest, Jason Alts.
You fucking nerd. I'm one of the original hosts of this podcast. All these scrubs out here don't even know that Corbin, his Oklahoma more like it, and he's a co-host. I'm the brains behind this brewery.
I love food.
No, it's not them at all. This podcast, the host just rambles on a bunch.
Woof. I remember my solo cast.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Magic with Zuby. My name is Zuby. On this podcast, we talk about a little well-known card game called Magic the Gathering. But mostly, we talk about D&D. And don't forget, my name is Zuby.
Well, it's kind of like that, but it has a lot more annoying energy.
Zing!
Hey, guys! This is Morrow, and this is my second Drive to Work podcast, where I'm talking about why there's only 8 cards in the Homelands packs. But don't forget to go vote in my Twitter poll what you think is best, Banding or Megamorph.
Well, if it's none of those, which one is it?
Well, I forget the acronym is like LICK or I don't know. Just here, listen to their newest episode.
If Lance can kill. If Lance could kill.
Welcome to another episode of If Lance Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
This is Hot Sauce. Can you fucking believe it?
I can't. I can't even believe that we're here right now.
I haven't even said the word hot sauce since, like, March.
I keep referring to you as hot sauce or sauce to the outside world.
You see my shirt?
That is
my podcast shirt, bitch. It's got an otter and it says hotter sauce. So it's like me, but because it's an otter, it's hotter.
Yeah.
Than me. I'm not an otter.
Otter
sauce. If you guys don't know me, I'm not. This is not a video podcast, but I'm not an otter.
You know, otters are, like, horrible animals. I feel like we've talked about this on the cast before, but otters, like, will rape and kill baby seals. And not in that order. They will kill them and then rape them. Like, it doesn't matter. Like,
why did you say it in the wrong order, then? You had all the opportunity to say it in the correct
order.
But
I'm saying, like, they're not picky. They'll kill or rape or
whatever. Oh, okay.
Just whatever strikes their fancy.
They just flip their two-faced coin, the one with all black on one side. And they just flip it, and then you're like,
yeah.
Ugh, so guess,
if you ever see a sea otter, you're like, oh, how cute.
their habitual rapists.
Know that you need to put cute little handcuffs on it and bring it to justice.
To justice. So yeah, it's been quite a while since we've awkwardly stared at one another in the eyes and pushed our hot breath through these microphones.
You know what's really fucked up is that we still meet up like almost every week.
This
but
is
we
true.
Haven't podcasted, but we've just been playing EDH and 69ing on the plastic table.
Every time I post a picture of like some magnificent board state that we've accomplished through EDH,
it's inevitably been my cards against you. Yeah, it's been pretty cool.
Inevitably, one of our listeners will be like, oh, so you have time to play EDH, but you don't have time to podcast. You fuck.
And the answer is, yeah.
Yeah,
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Why not?
Yeah. You know, we've had some exciting things happen here and there. Just numerous life circumstances, and we thought it would be best just to not podcast and then not really mention anything about it for a long time and just kind of keep you guys guessing. But we are back. Back in action.
Just post every week saying, oh, we're almost ready to record again. Oh, we got two more in the tank, you know. Oh, be ready for Monday.
I have been doing that for the past month, just kind of teasing at it. There was a Magic the Gathering survey that Wizards of the Coast put out, and one of the 50 questions was, you know, what content creator do you like or do you listen to when it comes to Magic content? And I said, if there was enough people who put in If Lands Could Kill, then we would put out a new episode. And turns out there was 200,000 people who put If Lands Could Kill in there.
So we made it.
Yeah, so that's why we're here.
Did you put our podcast in there also?
Yeah, of course I did.
So that's the issue here. That's how you know you haven't made it. Because, like...
But what if I
think... Famous people are not going to be like, yeah, me. Yeah, that's my favorite. I'm my favorite.
But what if I just think we're the best podcast? Like, even after we record, I listen to it and I'm like, fuck, this is hilarious.
Well, it's because it's for our humor. It's exactly what we want to hear.
Yeah, so yeah, of course I put
That's
it in
why
there.
I jerk off all the time, because I'm the best.
And then I just put all the now defunct podcasts. I put, like, Heavy Meta, The A-Team, Junk Rares, Not Another Magic Podcast.
Go on. Six more.
You know, that one.
Okay, eight more.
The LSV fan cast.
10 girls' names that end with a Y. Go.
Brittany, Tiffany, Sniffany.
Wow.
Yeah. I laughed really hard last night. There was a meme, stupid meme. It said something like, you know, I'm up at 3 a.m. I can't go to bed. And yeah, that's what happens when you do, you know, 20 lines of Coke, Sniffany. And like, nothing was funny to me except for the sniffany part. I don't know why. It's just like, yeah, you just put two words together and it tickled me.
I would not laugh at that.
But you just laughed at it when I said it. There was a giggle.
No, because I was... I mean, you caught me, but no.
That's the point. It's like not the setup or any. It's just the mere fact that there's a punchline about sniffany. A girl
I think we're spending
does,
too much time on this, guys.
A girl
we're
too who much time does with cocaine. This.
But what if his name is not Tiffany or Brittany or any of that stuff? What if it's named, like, Cheryl? And then they just butchered the name. They got the name wrong. Wouldn't you feel bad for that person?
Well, yeah. My mom's name is Carol.
Oh, okay. Damn it.
And she has a drug...
Cheryl!
She has a drug problem, and I'm really... And you know this. I don't know why you bring it up in front of everybody.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I did a bad thing.
Real awkward.
I'm going to get shamed.
Speaking of shaming... Oh, man, I've just been up to so much. You know what's a shame? I haven't played a lot of Switch games. My wife got a Switch for her birthday, like, way after the
Switch
came out.
Yeah, that's kind of shit, because, like, that was so exciting to get it. You're just like, oh, my God, I'm going to get every fucking game. I'm having the best time of my life right now. And you played like, two games to completion. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, I did play two games. I played, of course, the Zelda game, whatever the fuck it's called, Breath of the Wild, which I know it's been a while since it came out, but goddamn is that a good game. It is just mwah. I can't think of the last time I was this excited about a Zelda game. Just the kind of open world, do whatever you want. There's no linear path. I mean, I don't think there's really been a Zelda game like that. But just the way you can really do whatever you want. And I felt like in the beginning, like, God, was it hard.
Was it better than Ocarina of Time?
Yes.
Thought so. I would imagine it would be. Maybe, like, if nostalgia is telling you something, then, like, you're like, all right, maybe, no, Ocarina of Time was better, but...
I mean, the fact that you had to use the Nintendo 64 controller, that was just, like, half of the fuck, you know? And the water temple, you know? Who can forget about that? But I love the game. I felt like the more you got into it and the more you leveled up, like, the easier it got. So it kind of had, like, an anticlimactic ending where when I went to go face Ganon, it was just kind of easy.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, the first half or the first three-fourths of the game was amazing. And there wasn't much to the end, I felt. But, yeah.
Is there replayability?
100%.
What's the replayability of it?
The replayability is you can just go anywhere you want and do anything you want in any order. So it's like, until you reach the end of the game, you can kind of go around and do whatever you want.
Okay. But you're doing the same stuff over again. Am I wrong in saying that?
Yeah, you're doing the same stuff over again. But there's just so much to do that it's going to feel like a new game. You know what I mean? Or not necessarily new, but, you know, a little different.
Yeah. What else? What else was it? Mario Odyssey or no?
No, I didn't finish Mario Odyssey. I did play, it came with the system, was the Mario Rabbids Kingdom or whatever, the little turn-based action point, you know, kind of strategy game or whatever. It was a fun take on Mario. They kind of went a different direction with it. Kind of like with the whole Super Mario RPG, Paper Mario series, except instead of just, you know, like Final Fantasy turn-based, it was actually like you have to move over here, and you only have a certain amount of spaces, and then if you do this action, you can't do that action this turn. And so it was fun, but I only felt compelled to finish it because I was like halfway through it before I got Zelda. So I was like, well, I'm going to go back and play it. It was fun, but not, like, the replay value, I think, isn't there for me. Like, once I finished it, I was like, sweet, I'm not gonna go back and, like, do the 100% side missions or find all the extra things, and I'll probably never fire it up again. But it was fun to play. And, God, I just love the Switch. It is just one of the better Nintendo systems that they've put out.
I mean, it's no Virtual Boy, but I get you. No problem.
You know how expensive those motherfuckers are these days?
The Virtual Boy?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I forget too, but it's way more than you'd expect.
I mean, even if I was like, I just want to have it on the shelf, right. We're talking like $80. That's probably the most I would pay for something like that.
Yeah, I would say for like, you know, one game and the system.
Like play it for 20 minutes, you know, and then you just put it on the fucking shelf and you're like, look at this thing, I think it's cool.
And then 10 years from now, one friend comes over and he's like, oh, I remember that.
Oh, it's so crazy. Does it work?
You guys play it for another 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
20 minutes.
Yeah.
Colin, a friend, mutual friend, Peppermint Swirl, and I had like this nostalgic kick for the Genesis, and we both were like playing a bunch of games. There's one of them that we really liked that was called Biohazard Battle.
Okay.
And it was one of those where you're in like a flying alien ship type thing.
Right.
And this it keeps going from left to right no matter what. And enemies, like, kind of like that 1942 like jet game, whatever. The screen keeps moving and you just have to like shoot enemies as they come towards you and dodge stuff and whatever. Classic fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure there was like 30 of these games on the same system. And it was out on Steam for like a dollar, like 99 cents. And we're like, oh my God, we have to get it. This is going to be so cool. We are super excited. And I think like, if you look at my Steam library, it's like, played for 18 minutes. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly right. Like, it is exciting to see it and hear it, but it's not really exciting to play anymore. Like, it's one-dimensional. There's nothing to fucking do except for, like, dodge some shit, you know?
So, recently I've run into the same problem, although I think hopefully these purchases are going to provide more entertainment for me. But I have the new 3DS, which I actually regret buying because they had this promise about like the virtual console and how they were coming out with Super Nintendo games left and right. And then like a couple months after it came out and I got it, like they just stopped putting out games.
The fuck?
Yeah, which was really
shitty.
What is
a new 3DS? I had a 3DS.
Really
shitty. I had a 3DS XL. What the fuck is a new 3DS? What does that do?
It just like, it was more capable to run games like Ocarina of Time.
Oh, okay, okay. Like so this had more horsepower for like N64 stuff and GameCube stuff.
Right. All right. So there was
that seems kind of worth it.
There were some Super Nintendo games on there, and that's like half the reason I bought it, and then they stopped coming out with them. Regardless.
Irregardless, thank you.
Eerie. It is eerie. Regardless that I bought a... So I bought all the Marios on there, except for Mario 1, because I've played that a million teen times.
Yeah.
I bought all the Donkey Kongs and Donkey Kong Countries, and I bought all the Zelda games, save for Majora's Mask. I've never actually played that one. I am willing to play it, but I was just going for all the hits. So, like, sure, I have emulators and all this stuff, but I figure if I spent, like, you know, $30-$40, I could have pretty much all my favorites of the Nintendo genre on one system. And just kind of that be my evergreen system of going back.
Yeah, yeah.
And being
just
like,
keep it for 20
sweet.
Years.
Yeah.
Go back and play it.
Yeah, so I got like, you know, 5 Zelda games, 3 or 4 Donkey Kong games.
Better than spending $60 on that little NES, Super NES
that
thing.
Piece of shit. I can't believe people are into that. And I hate it when people are like, oh, you're just going to talk about your Raspberry Pi and fucking think you're better than. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Because
exactly.
I am. Because I didn't spend fucking $800
for a 6-foot cord on a fuck attached hardwired to a fucking thing or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's hardwired, but
with 30 games on there, only, you know, 10 of which that I actually like.
Here, let me try to get up in my Griffin McElroy range. So I got a serious question for you. Is Donkey Kong half donkey?
I'm more laughing at the Griffin impression than really the donkey part.
I don't have enough. Even though I'm sort of nasally right now, I need more nasally. You know, do you think he's half donkey?
I mean,
why is he Donkey Kong?
I mean, he's kind of an idiot. You know what I mean?
So he's like an ass?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Ass Kong?
Ass Kong.
Ass monkey.
Ass monkey Kong.
Ass ape. Like, right? Like, he's an ape. He's
yeah.
not. He's not a monkey.
Yeah, he's not a monkey. Monkeys have tails. Apes do not have tails.
I don't
tails.
Think it's the only...
That is literally
deciding.
The only qualification.
I don't think so. I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to bring it up.
Kind of is.
I think it's a big one. I don't think it's the only one.
100% that's the one.
I don't think so.
I took half a class of anthropology all right. in junior
half
college.
Half a class. All right. All so. Right. I gotcha.
That's the only
fuck
thing
is junior college.
That's community college.
There you go.
That's the well, the junior's more demeaning. so that's the only thing I remember. And also, bonobos are just like the orgy ape of the universe. They just fuck. That's all they do.
I think bonobos are like the most talked about ape whenever I hear like a science podcast or something.
Right.
And I'm like, why was this never a thing in high school? Like, why if this is the most interesting of this species, like, why wouldn't we talk about this shit all the time?
Yeah, I only found out about bonobos within the past 5 years.
Yeah, I think, like, fucking chimps are, like, the thing that everyone talks about. I'm like, hey, well, then,
yeah, there was,
what the fuck?
There was no bonobo buddies on Friends,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I didn't, like, look on Nickelodeon for, like, bonobo either.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to watch that claymation from fucking mid-90s. Bonobo buddies. Is that a good one? Did I do the thing? Okay.
Bonobo buddies.
Bonobo buddies. So it's ass. Okay, it's ass ape.
Ass ape.
Yeah.
So I got all the ass ape countries on mm-hmm. there, and I'm just happy. It's kind
I think
like
we should probably name it Bonobo Buddies. I think it's better.
Bonobo Buddies.
Like Donkey Kong should now be like Bonobo Buddy.
Yeah.
Bonobo Buddy. So like, what are the names of them?
Well, it's really fucked
Bonobo
up.
Bonobo Buddy.
They're all like related.
Bonobo Country. No, Bonobo. Oh, fuck, I gotta get. We're. Yeah.
They're all related. So
I'm gonna
it's
go
like
on Twitter
a,
later, and I'm gonna randomly post all of my new my ideas for naming, and nobody's gonna get it until after this episode comes out.
Well, good.
So they'll see it and be like, I don't really know where we're going with this. I'm kind of thinking this is like a Donkey Kong reference, but I don't know why it's funny. And then they'll be like, aha,
we'll get
aha, aha, and then they won't laugh anyways. But go on.
Yeah. So yeah. I have the collectionist sort of completionist thing, so I just wanted to get all the downloadable games that I actually ever wanted on the 3DS, and then that was it. And have I played any of them? No, I'm playing a game that I already bought like 10 years ago or however long it came out. Not 10 years.
Which is what?
But A Link Between Worlds.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the
3DS.
Is that the one? Link to the Past. Yeah, Link Between Worlds, where you can like go up on the side of the building and move.
Yeah, that's where like the world changes, like, you know, halfway through the game, and you go to like the...
Yeah, it's a good like throwback to A Link to the Past, because it has a somewhat similar map to it and everything, so I've been playing that.
It should be like a Zelda to the past.
It should
be Link, a Zelda to the past.
Yeah.
Why don't they call it that?
Copyright infringement. Because that one song...
What if they call it Bonobo Buddies, A Link to the Zelda?
Bonobo Buddies, A Link to My Butthole.
Yeah. And then you have to put the USB, just you have to keister it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, updating again, and then you have to wait for 4 hours. And you're like on the subway, and you're like, I'm trying, but the fucking Wi-Fi over here is real, the service over here is real shitty. Because of butts. Right?
Yeah, right? Yeah, butts, dude. Butts drive me nuts.
Yeah.
Bonobo's
butts drive me nuts.
That's one of them. Yeah, that's one of them. Right there.
All right. So, hey, it's been like 6 months to the day, to the minute, to the hour.
Right.
So, what you been doing, man? What's going on?
Well, one...
you got 10 sentences.
I got 10 sentences. Fuck, that was one of them. Up, two. Now we're really digging myself a hole now.
Yeah, you're putting periods like really aggressively right now.
So I got a new car. That was exciting. My shitty little 97 Civic finally died on me. And I was able to pick up a brand new car. My first new car ever, having purchased like new... to the world, not just new to me.
It's a SUV, dude. It's not even a car. It's a SUV.
It's pretty nice. Yeah, it's a RAV4 Adventure 2018, which it's meant to be more off-roady, but that's like, you know, a hipster mom and dad camping right off the freeway off-road. Not like actually take it to the desert off-road. But it has...
Okay, the things people need to know are... It has all-wheel drive, which is good,
yep.
And it has a racing stripe. And those are the two things you need to know.
Right. And it's a little bit higher off the ground. And I think...
Because of the racing stripe.
Because of the racing stripe adds the...
yeah.
The tallness to it.
Well, it makes the car lighter somehow. Yeah. And then because the springs have less weight they need to hold, then it, like,
then
goes
like,
up.
You know, and there's helium in the tires, so it's fighting, fighting gravity.
Yeah, absolutely.
you know, there's... cool shit. But anyways, you know, big back area, you put the seats down, fits all the dogs and fucking guitar equipment and everything I need to carry around. So I'm happy with it. And
how many sluts does it hold, though?
Sluts?
Yeah, how many sluts can you pack in that fucking bad boy?
Dude, you could... a lot. I mean...
If you want to ride dirty at like 3 in the morning,
I've
how many sluts
can
you pack in that
there
thing?
Before.
One...
slut.
But... who is it?
I don't know.
You want to say.
Yeah, I think my wife will get mad.
Okay,
I mention that she's a slut.
I was hoping this was going deeper with that. I hope you're like, that you were digging deep to like, I have a friend whose wife I know is a total whore. She rode in my car one time, so I can officially say that there was one slut in my car.
I was doing like the classic misdirection.
Yeah.
I'm cheating on my wife, yada yada.
Okay. I was hoping it was literal, and then you'd tell me afterwards, and I'd be like, yeah, she's a total slut.
Instead, I just called my wife a slut.
Just shut slame.
Yeah. Shut slame?
Shut slame. Shut slame.
The front door. Fuck. Because, I really like the car. It does what it needs to do. Taking good care of it. It's exciting for me.
It is exciting.
Also been playing PUBG. Been playing PUBG Mobile. Which, if anybody has played, Like the first 10 to 15 to 20 levels is ridiculously easy because there's still like a bunch of bots floating around that you can easily kill. And then once you reach a certain point, there's like little to no bot, and people actually shoot back at you.
What is that? Low resistance.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So what are the updates right now? Are there any fun updates that have happened in the past however long? I know there's a new map, but besides that.
Circling back to actual PUBG on Xbox,
mm-hmm.
they did the full release, so 1.0 came out. They have three maps.
More like 1 point slow, am I right?
Oh! They have, what, Miramar is the second map, and then the third map is Sanhok or something like that? Sanhok? I don't know. And that one's like a smaller kind of... games don't last as long because it's a smaller map.
Okay.
So everything's just kind of fast-paced.
When did that map come out?
That map just came out officially, I think, on the 1.0. It was in the... I also have the like beta test thing on my Xbox, so I've been testing them out, but that one just came out for the regular game, and it's super fun. There's a bunch of new guns and stuff, and I haven't been playing it a whole bunch until recently, and I feel like I just need to readjust my sensitivities now from, like, you know, over-the-shoulder look to just regular look to sniper to, you know, 2X, 3X, 4X. And it's just frustrating, you know, to try and get the right feel, you know, because everyone has a different preference, especially with the auto-acceleration. So if you start turning, the more you turn, the faster the turn gets. And I fucking hate that. I just want one continuous speed of a turn.
Yes.
You know, when I'm looking to the left and looking to the right. I don't need that fucking auto acceleration. So just messing with all those settings. So no chicken dinners yet as of 1.0. But I'm starting to get a little bit better with it. I'm starting to get some actual kills. So that's nice.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
So no bots.
No bots on the Xbox, ever.
Okay, I thought so.
But just on the mobile, but once you reach a certain level, there's no more bots. And it's actually based on skill and such.
Don't worry about that shit. Daddy's a little sick right now, I think. I don't know what the hell's going on with me. I don't know if it's sickness or I'm just, like, dying and, like, my organs are failing and they're just getting into my sinuses. I'm not really sure, but it's really fucking hot in here.
A little bit.
A little annoyed. I'm a little annoyed. Like the.
I love the game.
The Noid?
Yeah.
What's the Noid?
Yo Noid?
What is that? Is that the game that came in like a pizza box?
It's the pizza mascot.
Yeah, I know that.
Pizza Hut or something.
From Domino's, yeah, I know that. But what about the game?
Everywhere.
There's a game?
Yeah, for the regular Nintendo.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Huh. Skates and stuff.
Oh.
And he tries to rape children.
Oh.
I have a new addiction recently. Some months ago.
Don't use that word.
Some?
Addiction.
It's
not a good word for you, bro.
It is tearing apart my family.
Yeah.
And I have no recourse but to continue.
So there's something that you enjoy and you want to continue enjoying it, but in like
a
careful manner.
I have a consequence-free addiction to my brother and my brother and me.
Go on.
Some while ago.
What is this? My brother, my brother, and who? Who is
that? And me.
Oh, okay.
It is a podcast. A while ago, you had pointed me in the direction of...
you ready?
What's the other one?
Code Monkeys.
No.
Games cast. Make a games cast. That's what it's called.
Inc. Cool Games Inc.
Cool Games Inc.
Cool Games Inc. It was a podcast, and it was one of the brothers and some other dude.
It was, I think, Nick Robinson, I think is what his name was. Am I wrong?
No, that sounds about right.
And then Griffin McElroy.
And they would just bullshit about made-up video games. Listeners would submit, like, ideas, and then they would just go off on weird tangents and make these, like, theoretical games, you know, hypothetical. And it was hilarious, and then, unfortunately, Nick Robinson was sending dick pics to a bunch of chicks or something, and he got fired from Polygon, and so the podcast stopped. And so I was like, man, I really enjoyed that sense of humor. And then I started listening to My Brother and Me, which is Griffin McElroy and his two other brothers.
So did you just start listening to that, or did someone show you that show?
No, you showed me the, you showed me both of them, I want to say. No, no, I found them out myself because I'm a smart genius man, and I'm a little comedy boy who knows good stuff.
No, the reason I bring it up is because at first you were like, I don't think so. My brother and me. You listened to it, and
yeah,
you were like,
yeah.
I don't know if I can do this one.
So that's
I thought that
thing.
Was funny. Cool Game Zeke you fell into right away. But then Bam Bam, you were like, oh, this is...
Okay, so you listen to any first episode, you know, the first episode you listen to. God bless you. One. Man, you're just really...
I'm dying right now.
You're fucking up the quality of this cast.
No, that's definitely true.
We were going to submit this to Wizards as our one cast that was going to get us a preview card. Now it's ruined.
I guess
it's ruined because I'm too lazy to edit.
I guess Snapcaster's not coming back to standard, guys. Sorry.
Yep, all because of the hot sauce sneezes. So, Mabim Bam, it is kind of rough the first time you listen to it. One, Griffin McElroy has a very distinctive voice.
They all have a very distinctive, annoying fucking voice.
They all have annoying voices, but the two other brothers, Justin and Travis, they have similar
They sound
voices.
The same, and they sound like they talk out of their fucking nose. Like, literal nasal passageway conversation coming out.
So
the voices are awful.
So you're listening to it, and as I'm saying this, I'm very aware that I have a unique high timber voice as well. But I'm listening to this, I'm like, fuck, I don't know if I can do this. This is kind of the upper limits of acceptability for me for something I'm going to listen to on my way to work. And but I just kept listening to it, and fuck, it is hilarious. Like, fun sense of humor. Doesn't get, like, too crude, you know? But when they do get crude, it's, like, worth it. You know what I mean? Like, when they do cross the line, you're like, oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good one. They're talking about dildos in the ass or something.
They don't fucking drop a bunch of effie bombs all day.
Yeah, they probably go out of their way to not do that.
But then when they do, it's real sweet. Nectar tastes better. You know, it's aged.
Right. And so they are on episode, I don't know, 3-something?
4-something.
400-something?
Yeah.
So...
412 probably at this point or something like that.
So I have been obsessively listening to it.
I'm going to look right now. Go ahead.
And I've been listening to their back catalog, and I'm about...
424.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because they didn't know what to do for episode 420, so they just skipped it. They're like, there's too much pressure to be funny stoner stuff, and we haven't smoked weed in a long time, so we're just going to skip it. Did you not listen?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
So, anyways, I'm at about episode 110 right now, let's say. I've listened to a lot of hours of the McElroy brothers.
It's a lot of fucking hours. Because they're an hour each.
Yeah.
So carry the two, the big number.
Yeah, big. So I've been listening to them going to and from work. And I just can't get enough. And it's funny because, like, when you listen to them in reverse order, like, you don't understand some of the references or some of the bits, reoccurring bits that they do. And it's kind of like watching something in reverse, and then you start to find out.
You ever watch that movie Memento? There you go.
Is that the one with the tattoos and stuff?
Yep.
I never watched it.
Very good. Well, you get it, though. You get it.
Yeah, I get it. So it's been really fun.
Griffin gets it. Go ahead.
And on this last episode, they, like, bleeped out some of the cuss words, and that's the first time they ever did it. So I'm imagining, like, the first, like, 100-ish episodes where they were trying to be a lot cleaner.
Wow.
And then they were just like, nah, fuck it.
So you think that it's going to be bleeps from...
It might. It might be bleeps.
Wow.
Because they bleeped out cock. And I was like, really, of all the things, you're going to bleep out cock? Like, that's such an ambiguous word. It has double, triple meaning to it.
Like you're being a fucking cock.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
That's the only
like
thing I know it as.
You're an adhesive that's filling up space.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That is kind of funny that that's a thing.
It is.
I mean, it's spelled different, but so what? Like, it's still, it's a great time. Sometimes, okay, so I have to order penis goo for work to fill in gaps or whatnot. And more than once, I would go to write out the word cock and be like, okay, how the fuck do you spell that? Because there's no way I'm... And then I question, I go, is it spelled C-O-C-K? I go like, wait, what is... What? I'm like ready to type it out. I'm like, there's no way, right? I don't remember it being that. but I don't know how the fuck to spell it.
But that's all my what brain is it? Can focus on.
Yeah, but all I can think, and then I'm like, all right, hold on, let me Pornhub.com on my laptop, and I'm like, all right, okay, that's not it. That's not the thing
I'm looking
for.
That's the wrong.
Yeah, that's the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So I figured it out.
C-A-U-L-K?
Perfect.
Oh, man, I'm a fucking super good. Smart cock
yeah.
boy.
Yeah, you are. I had to use cock today. I had to penetrate with cock twice.
You didn't have to use cock today, but you chose to.
Well, it was on the order sheet. I got this little form that came in, and it was like, you guys missed some stuff. You got to come back and give me some cock. I'm like, okay, you got it. 6 a.m., prepare yourself.
So speaking of preparing yourself, I am about to prepare myself for all the delicious tidbits of sauce that have gone unnoticed through the past 6 months.
Nothing's happened. I was cryogenically frozen right next to Walt Disney, and they defrosted me back in June, and I was like, are the Jews gone? And they were like, no. I'm like, put me back. You getting this joke?
You said June?
Jews.
Okay. Okay, because
Walt Disney hated Jews.
Right. I thought you said June. And then I was simultaneously.
You should have laughed anyways and be like, June. So good. That's why we have him on the cast. It's pretty funny. Pretty funny. It's a bummer that we took this time off, but we just did.
I mean, we needed it.
We needed it.
Need to recharge our batteries and like, get centered.
Obviously, there's two of us today. Rest in peace, every other member we've had. We murdered them in the downtime, all the way back to quickness. He's gone.
That's why we're
6 feet under. I made it 7 feet because they'll dig to 6 feet and be like, nope, not here.
Yeah. I guess we gotta move on.
Okay. That was a funny. I just came up with a joke right now that I'm gonna have to use later because that made me. I'll have to use it in better context, but I'm gonna make that. That's gonna be part of my stand up right there.
Yeah, I like it. It was better than what I was gonna say.
Okay,
I was gonna say we had to consume them to get funnier ourselves. And there's nothing funnier than when you blow your nose when I'm explaining a joke.
Have you noticed that the card stock quality has not been so great? It's people. That's why the new. Yeah, we submitted people. To Korea or wherever they make the cardstock. China? Where is it at?
Yeah, it's this girl named Gina down in Taiwan.
Gina? Yeah, okay. Everything's like made in Gina. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah.
How big is that thing?
Shout out to our one Taiwan listener.
Is it Taiwan?
Yeah,
it's Philippines.
No, he's from Taiwan.
Or he's Thailand.
That's,
I don't think it's Taiwan, bro.
I think those are all the same
country. I don't think Taiwan has internet, bro. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, no!
I don't think so, dude.
Oh, wait, I think is that they Puerto just, Rico I'm thinking
I think
of?
They just like make like bad music boxes or something like that, right?
Which one had the horrible hurricane and then Trump was like, nah, it didn't really, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, Puerto Rico.
Okay.
But that's part of the United States. It's different.
Yeah. I was thinking that was Taiwan.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's not Taiwan.
I'm just a dumb American,
Jesus
dude.
Christ.
Just give me some cheeseburgers and fucking guns.
Yeah, we can roll into something. We're talking about magic or something? Holy shit. That's Taiwan, right? Yeah. Yeah, it was. I'm thinking, what's made in Taiwan? Besides, not routers, not modems, not those. That involves internet, and they don't have that. They wouldn't even be able to test down there.
Like children's toys, right?
Probably.
Like the ones at the...
gas stations.
Yeah, the gas stations and like the...
Taiwan.
Thrift stores.
Is that what our listener does?
No.
Oh.
He just lives there.
Oh, I thought he made children's toys. With no internet.
I really wish I knew his name. And even if I did know his name, I wish I knew how to pronounce it correctly.
It's not Taiwan.
No, fuck this.
Go look it up.
I'm looking it up right now.
Fuck.
Tell me about your shitty life.
So I don't live in Taiwan. It's fantastic. My internet speed is actually pretty fast. The toys I have are made of nice materials, not, you know, East Asian crap fucking metal steel.
Oil-based. Fiberglass.
Yeah, petroleum's doing well. My stocks and
Chun,
all that stuff.
Chun, ten.
You don't have to say it. We don't care. Where's he from? Message him right now. Get on Twitter, bro. Message him right now, and live. We're gonna get a response. Say, where are you from? How are you? But no. Say, where are you from? Better yet, how are you messaging me right now? With no internet.
Where do you live again?
Do you have a satellite phone? Are you the richest person in Taiwan?
The king of Taiwan is listening to our podcast.
Oh, this is pretty racist. All right. So anyways, back on track, because we're just making shit up as we go. This is pretty bad.
As opposed to the rest of the podcast, which is stringently organized.
Yeah, yeah. We're reading all this on a prompter this whole time.
The guy keeps telling us to get back on track.
Whatever they put on the screen, I have to read.
Yeah.
I don't know any better. All right? Go fuck yourself, Taiwan. Oh, damn it. See? So anyways, you know what? I got Wolfenstein, the new ones.
For the PC.
For the PC.
Because you got like the sweet PC.
New Order and Old Blood. And then, so I beat those, both of those. And they're great. If you played like the new Doom, it's pretty similar.
Okay.
If you played like any modern semi-quick shooter, a lot of gore, a lot of shit like that. Kind of, you know, not like Gears of War because it plays a lot differently, but figure it plays like something like Battlefield or something like that, but with, you know, a Doom Gears of War type skin put on top of it. Anywho, the second game was just like a standalone expansion, as in you don't have to like have the first one loaded on your computer to play the second one, I believe.
Okay.
So, but even though it's not like a full release, it still was like $20 and it's only like a 6-hour campaign. So I'm playing, it's called Old Blood. It takes place just before the first game. And so much so, where the expansion ends is like the opening scene of the first game, right?
Nice.
That's kind of cool.
Kind of like Rogue One.
Yes. But, halfway through the game, with like, my understanding is like really like no foreshadowing towards this, they pulled like a From Dusk Till Dawn or whatever it's called. Is that what it's called? The Quentin Tarantino movie?
Yeah.
They pulled one of those where you're playing a normal game and then zombies. I was like, what? What?
Randomly.
Yeah, they were talking about this like dig site. So spoilers or whatever, I don't care. It's just an expansion. They were talking about this like dig site, like the Germans found. By the way, the whole game is about the Germany won World War II, the Axis power world won. So it was like 1960s, and you have to deal with the fucking Nazis still. Okay. So, anyways. Like, they're talking about, like, this dig site they need to get out to because they're having, like, issues down there and people are dying or something weird's happening. But they're not explaining why. They're just all these, like, little notes and things you can find about that things going very wrong. And then finally you get to, like, basically the dig site or, like, next to it, near it. And then the ground starts opening up and, like, little, like, orange, yellow, like, light is coming through, whatever. Kind of like Gears of War style.
That's never good.
And then everyone's just zombies.
Bastards.
And then, like, people, you know, like, important characters in the game would die. I should say important for a 6-hour game, so.
Right.
People in the story would die, and then come back as zombies. And I'm going, like, what? But what? Like, I didn't. It was fine. It was kind of fun. But I was not expecting that. I was expecting kind of more of the same game, but they just, like, made just up something.
A sharp right turn into zombie town.
But then it leads into the next game, but I'm like, well, that's not canon. Like, what the fuck? It's fucking. It can't be just, like, zombies, and they'll be like, all right. No more zombies.
Don't worry.
Regular campaign after this.
We handled it.
Yeah, like, that's fucking weird. So, no. That was strange. I gotta blow my nose again.
Back in the early episodes, I would meticulously comb through these episodes and just, anytime we stuttered or, you know, sneezed or had to take a urinary break, I would just edit it out. And now, I don't care.
Too bad.
Yeah.
You should probably edit while I was playing YouTube copyright.
I mean,
stuff.
I will edit that out.
Yeah, you should do that. You should do that. Hey, do that.
I'm on this hunt for Homeboy's Country of
Origin.
Oh, yeah,
look it up. So, the beyond that fun little game that was very strange but also very good, I started playing a game called Prey, made by the guys that made Dishonored. Familiar with that game?
Right, yeah.
Sort of like Bioshock-ish, where. But the introduction is quite interesting. If you like how all three of the Bioshocks have had their first hour, it plays out very similarly, where you think you're in one place, then you're in another, and the game drastically changes, and then you now are free to move around the unique world. So I'm having a great time. I haven't played much of it, but so far it's fantastic. One of those games where I need to make sure I'm in like tip-top shape. I need to pay a lot of pay attention. I need to read all the notes and watch all the videos and listen to all the audio books, all the tapes or whatever. I need to pay a lot of attention to this game to really grasp the story because it seems that interesting to me.
You can't. It's so not one of those where you just like, oh, I'm just gonna ignore.
Like most games, gonna, yeah. Like most games, you just like see. It's definitely like Wolfenstein. Wolfenstein, I'm not. It's just an action game. I'm not really interested in seeing how deep the story goes.
Yeah.
Although the a new order, that was actually a relatively good story. I like the story. It's pretty good pacing too.
That's good.
They would like have it where, all right, here's the plan. We need to infiltrate this. We need to do this. And they would just show little 10-second snippets of them, like, getting dressed up as Nazis, getting into the thing, da-da-da-da-da. And then when you actually play the game, you'll be in the base already to the point that you were talking about. That's kind of nice that you're not just playing through the whole, every part of the story. Like, right. They're actually getting so through a lot stuff. Of the storytelling in 30 seconds, and they're like, okay, now we can get on playing this game. We don't need to create a story that will just only be the 8-hour game. We can make it more story than an 8-hour game would normally be. So that was kind of cool. But
I'm down with that.
Yeah,
I'm also down with the fact that I was right. He's from Taiwan.
Yeah, he wasn't though.
Oh, he so is. I even know that the university he studied at.
What?
Yeah.
They don't have a university.
Well, they got. Yeah, they do.
No way.
Oh, I don't want to name it. That'd be too specific. Bad. But
no,
yeah.
All right, fine. You're just killing the jokes. This is terrible. Sorry. I don't even know anything about Taiwan.
See? That place with that stuff.
Oh. Okay. Yep. Good. I'm glad.
I really Good went stalker status. I couldn't wait for him to respond. Because it's probably like, 10 o'clock over there or something. I don't know. I'm not good with...
That's true. It is geology, probably like 3 in the fucking morning or something like
geology
that.
Geology,
huh?
And time zones.
Geology? Geography.
Geography. Geography.
Yeah, geology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Biology.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Plateaus, fucking. Whatever. I don't know where the hell France is. I don't know biology. So, I don't really have anything to say. We're gone for so long, and I'm just like,
Too much has passed.
Yeah, it's just whatever.
To really recount.
I'm older and wiser, but my life is very similar. I'm in the middle of figuring out how to do a wedding.
Oh, yeah. You know? I believe on our last episode we talked about the proposal.
Yeah. I refinanced my home at the worst possible time. That's pretty cool.
You what?
I refinanced my home at the worst possible time.
Of course. It's
pretty cool. Kind of had to, though, because nobody's paying for the wedding except for me. I should say me and her, but you know how that really works out. So, right. Yeah. No, she's doing stuff. She actually is, my chick is, like, stepping up big time to the plate.
That's good, because thought you were going to have to handle most.
Yeah, I thought so. And she's, like, well, she's very excited, so makes her where she wants to spend her free time just, like, researching, doing this, doing that, coming up with all these old fun ideas. Like, she's stoked.
That's good.
So, also, this man across the table from me is my best man.
Yeah!
And we are going to go to the desert, high desert, the palm desert, have only desserts.
It's going to be so sweet.
Two S's because you want more of it.
So sweet. That's the joke.
That's pretty good. So, yeah, we're going to go there. It's going to be super sweet. We're going to...
Planning the bachelor party, I feel like I have such a... it's a tall order because you planned my bachelor party... I thoroughly enjoyed myself during the whole experience.
You know it's going to be great, though?
What?
Mine's going to be better.
It probably is.
Even though yours was the best.
Only in part to that one of your other groom's men, which is a groom's lady, she is also helping me, and she's, like, super stoked to help, which is, like, good, but also, like, when we met up to, like, talk about it, she had, like, literal spreadsheets that were color coded and stuff, and I was
when I
like,
asked her the next day, and I said like, "Hey, I didn't have it with me, but I wanted to show another friend of mine what the ideas were," and she's like, "Okay, I'll send it to you in a little bit. I need to update it," and I'm like, "Okay," and the update's like twice as long. It's like twice as fucking long. It has addresses for all the homes.
So that
it has like way more shit.
That was the main thing she was looking at was. like the houses to actually stay at these places and the availabilities because it's going to be a weekend thing. So the availabilities and all that stuff and, I'll be in charge of the fun shit we're going to do.
I wonder the stripper quality out there. probably not the best. But we'll try.
I mean, so...
There he is.
No, that's not...
That's him. That's him.
So, yeah, the town, stereotypically, is known for the large homosexual population. So I feel like...
Fuck, is it?
You didn't know that?
I don't even know anything about it.
I just found that out, like, a couple years ago. Okay. I've been going there for a long time, and somebody was like, because I go to an NA convention out there almost every year, and somebody was like, I mentioned it to somebody, and they're like, oh, man, a bunch of gays out there and stuff, and I'm like, not really, like, not, I mean, maybe I just don't pay attention to that type of stuff, but I feel like it's no more gay than anywhere else.
Well, I think that we have a really... That city, which is Hillcrest, San Diego.
Right.
You know, that's like way more than whatever fucking other town there is.
But I feel like even when it is a quote-unquote like gay area,
yeah.
That just means to me it's like more lively and fun.
That's what I was going to say exactly that. Is that like, it's probably a good thing. It's not as stuffy and old as it was before. Yeah. It's going to be really awesome.
Like, you go to Hillcrest at night and there's like, it's just alive with action.
It is.
It's not like, you know, whatever. It's so
no,
weird.
There's not like... Same-sex couples fucking in the streets or some shit like that. It's not some weird shit.
It's funny.
Normal. It's normal good.
So many straight dudes I know just think, like, if they step foot into Hillcrest, they're just going to get, like, butt-fucked.
Yeah, and,
like,
I know. It's pretty
first
sad.
First of all, what makes you think that any gay dude would be, like, sexually attracted
to you?
To
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
Just because you have a penis? Like, that does... Those two... That dog doesn't hunt. You
Is
know
this
what I mean?
Part of your stand-up act? What's going on here?
What's that?
It's part of your stand-up act?
What, that dog don't hunt?
Nah, never mind.
Oh, okay, this rant I'm going through. So anyways, I'm hoping since there's a large gay community out there, then it will have a good, like, live night atmosphere.
Absolutely. I had no idea, though. I did not think that was the case at all. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
Know.
There's like a bunch of nudist colonies out there. So...
But it's so hot out there. Balls are going to be, like, to the knees, man.
So we're going
to the knees in the breeze, man. God damn.
We're going to... Dude, when I go out there, it's like summertime. It's like 115.
Dude,
easy.
Summertime, balls to the knees, swaying in the breeze. They're hitting like their partner's legs. They're walking side by side, and it's like, man, can you keep your balls to yourself?
And they get kind of like...
Things are like swinging all over the place.
They get kind of caught up and twisted.
Yeah.
And then it's painful.
It's like when you carry, like, when you're walking two dogs at the same time and they're fucking leashes. It's like that. It's like that, but sweaty 115 degree balls. And the sack. Super long sack.
Nice load, awesome balls.
Nice load.
Awesome balls.
Awesome balls. Nice load, bro. Awesome balls.
Nice load. So, yeah. It should be fun. There's a bunch of cool stuff to do out there. I know
so we're, like we a, say, like, maybe you rate some ATVs and go tear it up.
Yeah, there's a little mini bike track out there that one of my friends, like, uncles owns or something. We went out there before, had a blasty blast. There's a bunch of other cool
Shoot
stuff.
Shoot some guns.
There's some really good outdoor ranges out there.
That'll be fun.
There's a couple, like, touristy things we could do, you know. Like
go
there's a,
hiking.
There's a tram up to the top of some mountain and stuff, and...
So the plan was for all of us to, like, have a rule in the house, no clothes, no matter what, for every person. But now we have a girl going, and now I'm like, I don't, it's not going to be fun anymore. Right? Am I wrong in saying that? And then they got, like, six bedrooms, and I'm like, but why?
Yeah, why can't they
like,
just
can we
be
knock
one
down?
Big bedroom?
Well, I'm like, can we knock down the walls?
So,
are they like,
so here's what's going to happen. We're going to take all the beds out, all the rooms. We're going to put it all in the front room, and we're all just going to have, like, slumber party, sleepy, happy fun time in the front room. All
right, so here's a question. If you are jerking off
okay,
in your living room,
okay,
or somewhere like that, bedroom, two-story house, and your window, your blinds are open.
Right.
And people from the street can see through and see you jerking it.
Right.
Is that illegal? 100%. You're not staring at them or nothing like that.
100% yes. Okay. That is super creepy and illegal.
But you're not, like, doing it intentionally to, like...
I didn't...
It was by accident?
I didn't intentionally mean to run that old lady over, but it happened. Still get charged.
Yeah, but if I ran the old lady over in my living room, would I still be charged? It's on my property. I can commit murder on my own property.
If a sweet little old lady comes over and she's like, can I borrow a cup of sugar? And you just blast her in the face with your shotgun.
No, you said car. No, I have to have a car. Like, this, I have to have a car in the living room. Okay. I have to go do all that work just to have this pull off this murder. I'm not just shooting her. That's easy. I have to have a car in the living room, sir. It's way harder than that.
It's like fish in a barrel.
It's like fish in a barrel, bro. No, it's like fish in the ocean, bro.
Old sweet fish.
Yeah.
Why? Are you planning on just like going to this house?
I got to go to court later. I'm wondering if I'm cool. You okay? I'm not joking right now. Okay, I'm joking. But
I'm seeking legal advice.
I told a coworker this. I asked a coworker this.
Oh.
And I'm like, "Would you I said if you saw that person, would you like do anything about it? Like approach the person, call the cops, like do anything if that person is like up in a window jerking off?"
Like,
let's just say they even knew it. They were doing it like some weird voyeurism shit or whatever.
If they knew it, that would be weird.
But would you do something about it? Would you just be like, "All right, Jesus Christ," and then just like walk away?
I'd say 90% of the time I'd be like, "That's fucking weird. I'm out of here." But like if it's, you know, maybe there's kids out or something, I don't know, I call the cops. So I actually have a great story. Maybe I already told on the cast. I forget. It's been 6 months. So me and my chick were walking our dogs late one night, and we're turning the corner to start walking up our street, and the house on the corner, because of the incline, like, you start to be, like, a little bit above their bedroom window, your eyesight.
Right.
So you can see, like, perfectly directly into this dude's bedroom window. He had his blinds down, but they were twisted in the way so where you see the little slats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm walking by with the dog. I just happened to glance over. And his computer screen, I just see, like, pictures of naked people. And I stop, and I'm like, "What the fuck?" One, because, like, hey, we can see you. And two, who just looks at still images of naked people anymore? Like, that just seems so archaic to me. So I'm like, "Hey, babe, come here." And she came over, and then, I mean, we couldn't see him, like, jerking it. But obviously, we saw some guy in a computer chair looking at naked imagery. You know, he was probably priming himself or something.
Now, what if those photos were kids' photos? Would you call the cops?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's super creepy.
Good.
We've had I didn't know this, but this is the same neighborhood I grew up in. Ended up moving back into this house. And a couple doors down, this old lady lived there when I was a kid. And then she died and her, like, two sons moved in or something. And we, like, never saw him ever. You know, we didn't even see him, like, take out the fucking garbage. That kind of weird shit. And about 2 years ago, fucking FBI or somebody raided the fucking house. Child pornography.
Whoa.
Yep.
That's fucked up,
So
dude.
Not only when I was a kid, they were probably there, but there's, like, kids in the neighborhood now.
Jesus,
so that was, like,
Christ.
Super weird, creepy.
Have you looked at that list to see who's around you? Sex offender list?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
But for some reason, whenever my dogs escape out of the yard, they go right down to that dude's house. And it's all, like, overgrown. Since he's in, like, prison now or wherever, it's all overgrown and unkempt, and it's scary.
So I'm sure that's the reason why. I don't think that they're like, "I want to see some pictures."
What? Oh, no, yeah. They're like, "Wait, never mind. We heard there's candy down here." No, so anyways. Yeah, that was a great conversation to have. Back to you.
Back to you in the studio.
God damn it.
So
the bachelor
so you
party.
Wouldn't, no, so you wouldn't call the cops?
So I didn't call the cops on that one guy who was looking at fucking pictures because, oh, fuck, dude.
No, but he wasn't jerking off.
But I'm pretty sure he was jerking off or he was going to jerk off. We just couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
So here's a similar situation that I myself accidentally experienced. I think I was still drinking at the time. I was with my cousin and my brother at a Chargers game. And we're in the parking lot drinking. My cousin has this big RV, tailgate and all that stuff. I go in there to use the bathroom. First time in the RV, not really familiar, little bit buzzed. So I walk into the bathroom, which is at the back end, which is pointed towards the parking lot.
Yeah.
And I just whip out my dick, and I'm about to pee. And that's when I realize that the blinds to the back of the bathroom are open. And you can see the whole goddamn parking lot. And I just have my dick in my hand, and I'm like, "Oh!" I go shut the blinds real fast. Luckily, it was kind of like...
That's really funny.
A little bit frosted glass sort of effect.
You should be in jail, sir.
But still, I was like, that could have ended very poorly.
Well, I mean, they could have been like three petite Asian girls all laughing and pointing at the same time. Yeah, like a cartoon or something like that.
Of course. So I understand that there's mistakes will happen.
So small.
But yeah, bachelor party should be fun. Planning it. Hopefully get some. I was actually joking around about taking you to a gay bar or like a gay strip club. Like, dude, this is going to be awesome. And then we just show up. We'd probably have fun.
We'd probably have fun, though.
Yeah, and then take off.
Would you be down?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably do it. I don't care. I've heard stories about, like, guys, or, well, I guess the opposite story, too, about basically people cheating on their spouse on their bachelor party, bachelorette party, you know what I mean?
Right.
So what if I fuck a dude?
Well, one, best bachelor party ever I've ever been to.
Yeah. Like, in front of everybody. Like, hey, everyone, you know, this like, guy's, like what's his name?
Like, Stefan. You think it's gonna...
Whatever.
Chandler. You think it's gonna...
Chandler's better, yeah.
You think it's gonna be, like, real funny. Like, you're kind of drunk, and you're like, haha, wouldn't it be funny if I had sex with this man?
Yeah.
Who is willing.
Yeah.
And you're trying to, like, push it, and we're like, nah, not really. And then before we know it, your ball's deep.
Right.
Or other way around, whatever. I'm not gonna rule anything out. It's a party.
Yeah. Like, I'm blowing him. And then I'm just like, I'm looking at you guys, and I like point to his dick. I'm like, this is fucking, come on.
This is hilarious.
Do you believe this? Yeah. What is that? It's like an old Honda.
I don't know what the, I'd make funny sounds. If I were to blow somebody, I would make funny sounds. You know, like the,
Yeah. Like the little slide thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm like, yeah, why not? Yeah, good times.
Yeah. I'd blow into it like it's a harmonica.
Mm-hmm. This is why we can't get sponsors, though.
This is why, like, we can't have a preview.
Taiwan.
This is why we can't have a preview card.
Yeah, preview card. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, guys, nothing against anybody. I just, like, want to say bad things about everyone. But some of them are just lower-hanging fruit, and we're not that smart. So we have to go for that sometimes. Sorry, guys.
I apologize for nothing.
I apologize for something. Sometimes.
I haven't said anything quite horrible quite yet.
No, but I have. I mean, you have to be like, yeah.
It's still early in the night, you know? There's plenty of time for tomfoolery.
Plenty of time. So, yeah. Nothing's really happened, dude. I've just been having a great time.
I'm glad.
I learned how to do a Rubik's Cube. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. You were telling me the other day
it was very exciting.
You've been... That's how you know you're old, though.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, you know what? I think it's time. Yeah. I think it's time I cracked this chestnut.
And then I did it. And now I can be like, hey, guess what? And then I did it.
Okay, so...
But now I get to go to people's houses and then solve it and then put it back in the place where it was. And people get to go like, what the fuck? Because a lot of people that own them don't know how to do them.
If I were to hand you a Rubik's Cube right now, how many minutes would it take you? Give or take, ballpark.
Minutes?
Yeah.
Minutes?
Yeah.
Why minutes? Why not seconds?
Oh, you're just that good.
No. I would say 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
Yeah, 2 minutes probably. The first time I timed myself, I did it in like 4:30. But I haven't timed myself since then. I just figured that I'm faster now. That was just the first time where I'm like, okay, I know how to do this. So now let me see how fast I am as like the very first like beginning stages of I know how to do this and nothing more than that.
Gotcha.
Like, and then a lot of times it would be like the very first day of learning how to do it. If I made a mistake, because there's, like, patterns you have to follow, if I made one mistake, if I didn't just, like, reverse, like, you know, like, fucking Control-Z this bitch real quick and just, like, go back exactly one thing, then I'd be like, I don't know where I'm at. And then I have to just scramble it and then start over again. You know what I mean? I didn't know how to, like, look at it and be like, okay, what did I fuck up at? Okay, what do I rotate to, like, get it back to the thing?
Yeah, if you take
and now I can. I just, at the beginning, I'm like, Jesus Christ. So I remember getting... It was like the first time I did it, but before the first time I did it, I got to the last pattern, which the last pattern is super easy, and you just like do the same motion back and forth over and over until the fucking thing is solved, basically. And I was doing that, and then all of a sudden I started seeing it get more scrambled, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, I fucked it up somehow, and I had to go over the whole thing again. So I spent like, you know, 15 minutes trying to get this thing to the point of being solved, and then at the very last time when I got inside it, it started moving too fast, because I was like in that really... bonerific mode, dad boner mode.
Right.
I fucking messed up and I had to start all over again. I was like, God damn it. And I just put it down for the night. I was like, all right, well, I'm not solving. I'm going to solve it tomorrow. I'm not going to solve it tonight.
Nice.
These are the exciting things. Work's fucking fantastic. Love it.
Yeah, what's up with work lately?
Having a great time. Did a bad thing earlier. Was not feeling so good about it. And then it turned out to not be a bad thing. Not a very bad thing. So we're good.
Nice.
But, yeah, life's fucking good, dude. Like, I have... So I definitely don't have the job as far as what I do, which is like a dream job. That is not the case at all. Mm-hmm. I have what is, I would consider like... a dream scenario as far as like what, like to name anything that you want to do, and then this is how it is done.
You're like on the road.
What's that?
You're on the road to the dream.
Well, no, no. I mean like if I said, hey, you can be a singer because that's all you want to do is be a singer.
Right.
But you have to be on a strict label. We're going to, you know, we're doing it by the book. Like, it's not going to be a very fun process. You're just going to get to your dream job.
Right.
Right? Okay, you're going to work and make furniture for a living, custom furniture. But you're going to be following other people's prints. You're going to be, like, doing the designs that we tell you to do.
And you have to and use don't animal
deviate.
Bones.
Yes, yeah. Don't deviate. Like, you know, you just need to do this thing. Like, it's going to be your dream job that you always wanted to do, but no, you have to follow the rules.
Right.
Right? So this is not the dream job, but I don't have to, like, follow the rules. Like, I make my own hours. And I drive, like, where I want and, like, take breaks when I want and do, like, whatever. I just do whatever. And nobody checks in on me at all. It's like, nobody's been like, hey, you know, what'd you get done today or something like that since December of last year probably or January or something like that.
Nice.
It's been like, you know, as long as, like, stuff happens and, like,
yeah, by the end. Things get accomplished.
Yeah, things get accomplished. Like, nobody even fucking calls me. You know what I mean? That's where it's at. So that it's like I said, it's not like I'm doing fucking God's work over here. That is not the case. But I'm in such a fucking happy spot as far as like, if I show up an hour late tomorrow, like, okay. Like, nobody's going to fucking call me.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to care. I can't, but I haven't abused it yet. I haven't, like, you know, only worked 7 hours and got paid for 8. Like, I haven't done any of that shit yet.
Right.
But it also makes you not want to do that because then you don't want to, you're afraid of losing what you have.
Right.
So just in case, like, I haven't smoked weed for like 7 years because I get randomly drug tested, but it's been actually like a pretty long, it's been a couple years since I've been randomly drug tested.
Yeah.
I'm still not going to do it. Even though it's like now it's like, I feel, you know, nobody's even checking on it. I don't even, nobody's even called me about this shit anymore. But also it's like, no, but let's just like play it by the book and life will just continue to be easy. Right. Isn't that better?
Yeah.
Don't take advantage of it. You know what I mean? So yeah, just because the car door's unlocked, don't fucking steal, you know, the purse. It's like, fine, just leave it there. It's cool.
Just take the pennies.
It's good. Take the pennies. Or do what I did. Do what I did. I would
throw them at cars.
Allegedly, yeah, do that. I've done that too. We've all done that. You've done that. So, allegedly, because this is not true, because why would it be in this in totally highly legal? But we would go at walking home from the bar and just check and see whose, like, car door's open. Like, of who course. Did forgot to unlock or forgot to lock their door. Or, you know, it's like 2 a.m. We're just like checking every fucking car. Not to steal anything. Just to like fuck with the person that was like, that had the door unlocked.
Yeah, just so then to it'd be like, put the floor mat on the dashboard.
Yeah, like something. Just like whatever. Flip shit around. Like take whatever's in the glove box and put it like, you know, in the back seat. And whatever's in the trunk, yeah, put it in the fucking driver's seat. And like get a cone from the sidewalk and put it on the driver's seat. Like just do whatever. But never take anything. Like, right. Not even a dollar. Like, I'm not interested. I just wanted to be, like, an asshole.
Yeah, you just want to mess with this person's
yeah,
mind.
I wanted to inconvenience them for, like, 30 seconds. You know what I mean? I wanted them to walk in and be like, what the fuck? And then just, like, fix the thing in 20 seconds. And then drive away and go, wow, that was weird. But all my shit's here. So someone was here, but all my shit's here. That's pretty fucking weird, right? It's like, yeah, because we just want to be goofy. That's it. That's all.
Just goof.
Super easy.
We're just a goof.
It'd be worse if I threw, like, an egg at your car. I'm not doing that. That's way worse. Yeah, but I didn't do that. I'm just saying, if I did, right, that'd be funny.
Of course.
That's what I thought was funny back when I was, you know, 21. Something. But then I thought about it and I go like, oh my God, that's jail time.
Yeah, you could get in trouble.
That's like an expensive joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'd be like, the joke's got to be funnier than that.
Yeah.
To get in trouble, the joke has got to be like super fucking funny.
Well, now, since we're older, we weigh the costs. The pros and cons, you know, the possible consequences.
Oh, like a lot heavier now? Cause
yeah, because we actually have shit to, you know, we have a life now. Back when we were kids,
I mean,
it didn't fucking matter, whatever.
What do I have?
Future. That sucks for future me. Right now, me's having a great time.
What do I have, like a family and a fiancé and animals to take care of? Like, that can go away tomorrow.
Whatever.
I don't care.
That's like one house fire away.
Ooh. Not an electrical fire, though.
No,
it can't be that.
Because your status.
Yeah. They'll be like, he knows how to do that. Also, do I know how to do that? It's not part of my classes that I've taken. I don't know.
So, real quick, my job's going pretty well.
Nobody wants to hear about jobs.
One of the other co-workers' cars in the company van.
You did what?
I gently just tapped my co-worker's bumper with the company van.
But the guy was driving like it was like a Rolls Royce though, right?
No, it was parked and
what kind of car,
it was his mom's car, which is funnier. It was like her brand new car. And I just bumped into it.
Was it like a regular sedan or like an SUV? Like what body
like
style?
Some nice SUV.
Okay. All right.
And I just bumped it. Van was totally fine.
What color was it?
White.
Just kidding. Stop. Tell me
like
to shut up.
Like a pearl.
Oh, good. Pearl white. Pearlescent.
So, I'm not allowed to drive the vans anymore at all.
Sorry. Hold on.
Balls.
Go ahead. I'm not going to pick it up.
Oh, okay.
No, I just needed to, like, I said, hold on, because this thing's fucking barking at us right now.
Okay. So I'm not allowed to drive the company vans anymore, which is kind of shitty because it's, like, another mark on my employee record. You know, I had to get written up. But it's also not shitty because that means...
So, wait, does written up mean, like, you got a promotion? Like, I got written up.
Yeah, I got written down.
Oh, that's not good.
I got dicked down with the write-ups.
What did it say? Insubordination.
I don't know. I just signed it. I didn't know. I was just like, whatever, this sucks. So I got a week's unpaid vacation.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I do remember that. Yeah, never mind.
And then, but now, usually there's two of us on shift at any one given time, and one guy's supposed to drive the guys to like meetings or doctor's appointments or whatever, and the other guy stays back and twiddles his fucking thumbs. So now
you're always that guy.
Now I'm always that guy, so I can just sit back, do homework, play video games, whatever. But it kind of comes at the expense of getting a write-up. So it's like, if I get to go back and redo it, I would definitely be a little bit more judicious with my driving.
Yeah, you drive like a Jew, yeah.
They're known to be very good drivers.
It's like Jew and suspicious, all in one word, judicious.
God damn it. but as of right now, it's like I don't have to drive. I literally can't even drive, so it gets me out of a lot of responsibilities.
Word.
So that's nice. Unfortunately, remember a while back when I said that
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
When I had a coworker that he did something very inappropriate.
Yeah.
As a joke. He did, like, a gay joke, but it went too far. Like, not, like, making fun of the gays, but he blew into a client's butthole when he was taking a pee test. Which, that is very...
Like, he didn't, like, put his mouth in his butt. He,
no,
like, blew
no.
a puff of his air onto his anus.
Yeah, like, from far away.
Yeah, onto his fanny.
Yeah.
He's like, feel that breeze?
And so that, I remember talking about it. We had a great laugh about it. So that guy fucked up real bad again, real bad, and now he's not working there anymore. And so this was the type of guy who would, he would want to do everything his way, because if you didn't capitalize the right letter when you input the medications, then, like, you're just a complete fuck-up sort of guy, which that stuff doesn't matter at all.
But also, I mean, like, I agree with him, and you are.
So, and then you'd be like, hey, buddy, can I help out, like, with whatever you're doing? He'd be like, no, just whatever. And then, like, the next day he would complain to the boss that I'm not doing anything. But that, it wasn't just me specifically, it was everyone, because he, like, coveted all the responsibilities for himself. So anyways, this guy got fired. So now I got, as a unfortunate reward, I got my dream schedule of being off Friday, and then Saturday night I have off. So that means I can, like, go to fucking pre-releases.
F&M, bro.
F&M, or go to punk shows, which I'm going to this Saturday. It's just, I have a life again. I can hang out with you more often, And it's great. So I'm super stoked about that.
I mean, it's only been like 4 years in the fucking making, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, two and a half.
Jesus Christ.
I've had this shitty schedule for about two-ish years now of working the weekends, weekend nights. And so basically, in my position, I have the most seniority in that position. So I was able to get whatever schedule I wanted. So that's nice. And unfortunately, around the same time, my buddy Tyler, who we've been hanging out with playing Magic,
He's a real good guy.
Yeah.
I like him.
He had to quit, unfortunately, because his schedule wasn't getting any better. His school schedule and just, like, adult responsibility schedule wasn't matching up with what they needed him for. And so he had to put in the 2 weeks, which is a bummer. But guess what? That means he can hang out and play Magic more. And so we've been trying to get this guy. He played casually here and there. So we've been playing EDH and stuff. And he ordered a deck, a pre-con deck, from the new Commander series, the 2018, which he got the Adaptive Enchantment deck, which is the Enchantment Matters deck.
Which is Bant?
Which is Bant, yes. Green, white, and blue. And so he was kind of humming and hawing over which deck and blah, 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 and we were going through each year of Commander pre-cons, and, you know, the Heavenly Inferno looked pretty cool, but it's, you know, it's only been printed twice, once the original and then once in the anthology. So,
was it expensive then?
So, yeah, it was expensive. It was like $80 or something. And so he didn't really want to spend that much money. So I was like, just get one of the new ones. It'll be fine. And so he got the adaptive enchantments. But so I was like, dude, we got whatever, like, we got upgrades for you. You know, like, I'm sure there's just some shit cards in there. And we got, you know, these mediocre cards that will be 1,000 times better for your deck. So he just got that in yesterday or the day before, and I'm pretty sure he's like wants to play like ASAP.
I love it.
Yeah, so that's exciting. So speaking of the Commander 2018 decks,
shifting gears, guys. Yeah. All the listeners that just come for the bullshit, are you now go away?
Yeah, shifting down.
Going down.
So shifting gears. We did buy, just like each year, one of the Commander pre-cons. So, why don't we go around the table and talk about what decks we got.
This is show and tell day.
Yeah. What did you bring to class?
No, you go first.
Oh, well.
I'm whipping it out right now. Let me pull it out. Hold on. It's just so long. I have to, like, go up by full pant leg.
So, I bought Nature's Vengeance, which is the Jund Land Matters deck. I had previously been working on a green-red Land Matters deck, and then this came out. So I just kind of abandoned that and kind of meshed the two together. And there's still a lot of cards I need to buy. I was able to substitute out some of the shitty ones. And it's really unfortunate because most of the mythics, I think, are pretty shitty. Like the, Gyros, Walker of Corpses, where it enters the battlefield with a number of 1/1 counters on it equal to the number of mana you spend to cast it.
No. Not good.
Not good. And there's other stuff. It doesn't matter.
Jesus.
And then
I'm silent for a fucking reason.
And then whatever the other mythic... Oh, here it is. Thantis, the Warweaver. Vigilance, reach, all creatures attack each combat if able. Whenever a creature attacks you or a planeswalker you control, put a 1/1 counter on this thing. It's a 5/5 for 6, which is just a big dumb dude, you know?
It's not fun to build with that.
Yeah, so I took that out, and I want to say there was like one more of the mythic dudes. I was just like, you know what, this doesn't fit the deck. This isn't what I want to do with the deck. It's supposed to be heavy, heavy Land Matters. Oh, it's this one. It's one black and a red. Xantacha. Sleeper Agent. Enters the battlefield. An opponent of your choice gains control of it. It attacks each combat if able and can't attack its owner or planeswalker its owner controls. And then you pay life and switch owners, and I don't fucking know. I don't really care because it's a fucking...
Why are we talking about cards that we don't like?
Because I'm saying what cards I took out of the fucking deck. Actually, there was a bunch of cards I took out of the deck.
How many cards do you think?
I think right now I took out like 20-something, and there's still some I need to take out.
I took out 70.
Yes, so I still need to work on my deck. But your deck, good sir...
No, we get it. What else? What good shit do you have in there?
I mean, good shit, the...
Like, obviously, like, the, fucking big old frog fucking bitch. What is that guy's name? Gitrog, the...
Well, that didn't come with the deck. That's
no. I'm saying what you added to it.
Yeah, so I added Gitrog, which, of course.
No, Gitrog.
Gitrog.
I don't know.
I believe
no one knows. None of this shit. Nobody says it.
It's the
Gitrog. It's just fucking words.
Just letters.
Nobody fucking says the
just
words.
Noises with our mouth.
Yeah.
I believe I put squandered resources in there. I was able to get a bunch of those for like 50 cents, 75 cents, back when Jason Ault wrote an article about it. And now they're like 20-something bucks, so I'm pretty happy about that. I really like the Planeswalker, which I'm using as the commander, is Lord Windgrace. Discard a card.
I don't know about that name.
Yeah, the name...
For like you think it'd be like a like darker, deeper kind of...
Yeah, Lord Windgrace is like a green-white name.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is Tuinjund.
It's like Nissa Lord Windgrace or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Not fitting, but I do like everything else about it. Starts out with 5. The +2 is discard a card, then draw a card. If a land card is discarded this way, draw an additional card.
So basically, just discard 1, draw 2.
Basically.
Tormenting Voice.
Right. The -3 is return up to 2 target land cards from your graveyard to the battlefield, which usually doesn't matter. Maybe in a Gitrog situation and you need to sack some, you can get them back. And then the -11 is destroy up to 6 target non-land permanents, then create 6 2/2 green Cat Warrior creature tokens with Forest Walk. Which is pretty fucking cool, you know? It's not dependent on, you know, what you blow up. It's just you can blow up to 6 things.
Yeah.
And still get the creature tokens. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. So there's
I think it's a good dude.
Yeah. I mean, there's some other cool stuff in the deck, but it's just, I feel like there's a lot to be left to be desired in the deck. And
I think he's from Wakanda also. It's pretty cool.
What did you just say? Wakanda?
Yeah. Black Panther? It's not that bad. It looks like it.
What kind of joke is that?
I don't know. It's a normal joke.
Wakanda,
it's a Marvel Universe joke.
Wakanda joke is that? No, you didn't.
I didn't get that one.
It was a stretch. I tried.
I thought you were trying to just get me. You're trying to attack me.
I tried.
Made me feel bad for like not even doing a racy joke.
So the deck is all right. Definitely needs some more updates. So we like to play our decks right out of the package, 1v1 without any changes. They were, what, 50-50?
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Maybe one way or the other, didn't really, but they were 50-50, and then we made changes, and Hot Sauce...
Well, one of us made a lot more changes.
One of us made a lot more changes. Hot Sauce got the subjective reality, the top deck matters, and why don't you go ahead and take it away?
Well, when I got the deck, it is kind of like that, where it's like a top deck matters type effect, and I go like... Yeah, but how many miracle cards are there? Like, this is not really... This is, like, sweet for, like, modern, where you're trying to play off, like, 3, maybe 4 important miracle cards, but I have one of each of these cards. I can't build a deck around 4 fucking cards.
Right.
So
what'd you do with all that
junk? I turned it into a blink deck. Into Enter the Battlefield Matters. And so this... Everything from this new set, all the commanders are planeswalkers. Of course, they have additional ones in the 99 that you can like alternate if you want to, but this one is Aminato, the Fate Shifter. It is 3 mana, Esper colors, for 3 loyalty. +1, draw a card, then put a card from your hand on top of your library. So you're not netting any cards.
Library.
And then you just like maybe get to Terminus or whatever, take an extra turn, or
you might be able to miracle something.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's like, it's not that exciting. Or they have that new Entreat the Dead or whatever it's called.
Oh god.
So that actually is pretty good. But that's just, we're talking about one card here. It's not like good enough to build a deck.
So just real quick, since you mentioned it, the Entreat the Dead, let me see where it is.
Well, I can just tell you what it is. It's double black and X.
Entreat the Dead, which is double X, black, black, black.
Or black, 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 yeah.
For a sorcery, return X target creature cards from your graveyard to the battlefield. First of all, that's already just great. Great card. A little pricey. But it has the miracle cost of X, black, black. So at that cost, late game, mid to late game, absolutely worth it.
Yeah, 6 mana, bring back 4 creatures.
Doesn't even really matter what deck it is, it's going to be worth it. But yeah, especially in your deck, and you can continue to tell them why it's so deadly.
Yeah, so I'm still going to keep in those 4 miracle spells that do things. Actually, probably 3 miracle. No, 4. There's the one that brings all the angels, or the one that brings shit back from the dead, from the graveyard. There's the one that takes an extra turn, and then there's Terminus, which puts all creatures in the bottom of their owner's library. So those are the 4 actual top the deck matters. The rest of it, though, in like why bringing shit from the graveyard even matters, is because everything has an enter the battlefield effect. And the -1, the second ability on the Planeswalker, is exile another target permanent you own, then return it to the battlefield under your control. So it's not like until end step or whatever else, which is, I think, what the Fencer +1 is or whatever, which is great, but it's not instant, so you don't get the gratification, you don't get to do the thing right away, you use it a second time, you know, blink it twice, something like that. So yeah, that's the -1. The -6, honestly, not even gonna read it, who cares. So it only has one ability. It's weird, a planeswalker with essentially one ability, unless I drew one of the 4 miracle cards.
The +1 is literally just to get
miracles
online.
+1
loyalty counter on it, besides the miracle.
Yes, basically. If I'm down to... But even still, I usually just keep minusing it until it's dead, and then I cast it again.
Gotcha.
It's 3 mana planeswalker, so you cast it for 5, cast it for 7, totally fine. And then I have that land that brings it from the command zone into your hand, so you get one good, you know, explosive turn late game where you can just pay 3 mana and then fucking go off. So, let's talk about some creatures. Karmic Guide. And as a battlefield, return target creature from your graveyard to the battlefield. It's 5 mana dude that, you know, just fucking reanimate something. Fantastic. Yeah. You gotta pay an echo, blah, blah, blah. But the point is that you cast this thing, you bring it out, and then you -1 on the planeswalker, and then you do it a second time. Fantastic. 2 creatures. Bunch of, like, you know, good, you know, you're playing Force of Wills. I'm playing blue in the deck, obviously. So playing some fun blue stuff, you know, Disallow and whatever else. Bunch of mana rocks, standard stuff. I'm just kind of burning through my deck to see what else we got in here, whatever fun shit I have in here. I'm actually playing fetch lands for once. I never play fetches usually. But because this deck was pretty exciting to me, I wanted to make sure I could, A, you know, be able to play Brainstorm and do like a shuffle if I needed to, and get the top card of the deck to be something else instead. B, I just wanted to have better mana, just so I can cast this my leader on turn 3 if I needed to.
Right.
So that's kind of nice. Card we'll get to later. Okay, let's see here. But, you know, some tutors, treasure crews, some simple stuff. I'm trying to get... I'm surprised I'm not seeing any fucking creatures. All right, what about Brago? Brago's good.
Ugh.
When Brago deals combat damage to a player, exile any number of target landline permanents you control, return to the battlefield under owner's control. So this is like the -1 on the Planeswalker, but you got to do combat damage, so it's not going to happen every time. But you get to do it to any fucking permanent you have. And every permanent I have, if it's not just going to be a mana rock or something like that, it has ended battlefield effects on it. What about Sunblast Angel? Enters battlefield, destroy all tapped creatures. So I play this guy, it hangs out, I attack with it sometimes, sometimes not, mostly not, because it, otherwise it'll be tapped. But then I guess I can. But I basically, what it allows me to do is that whenever your board gets too big and you want to attack, you know, I will do some chump blocking, I'll do what I have to, but then you know that your creatures will die because they'll be tapped. And sometimes I can do it at instant speed, rarely, but sometimes I can. But otherwise, you at least know that in one turn cycle that I'm going to wipe all your tapped creatures out.
This is your new, like, hey, I found this one obscure card that nobody plays, and it's now the most pain in the ass card that you have to deal with.
Yeah, but not really, though, because we have this one. Adventure, Shaper Savant. It's 4 mana for a flash 2/2. You guys have seen this card before. It's one of those cards that's right on the edge of being modern, a good card in modern, but doesn't really see much play. But basically, when it enters the battlefield, return target spell or permanent to its owner's hand. And so I can blink this and return any permanent. So, like, if we board wipe and there's not much left, I can return artifacts and lands back to your hand. And besides that, if I get myself going with the little combo, which is that stupid fucking blue guy that everybody hates, that 6-mana blue guy, what the hell's his name? Deadeye Navigator.
Ugh.
So if I get these two on the battlefield at the same time, I get to pay 1 and a blue based on the ability that this Deadeye Navigator gets, which is as long as this creature is paired with another creature, which is pairing is just basically when they're both in the battlefield at the same time, essentially. Each of these creatures gain, pay 2, exile this creature, return to the battlefield under your control, and I can do that as many times as I want, many times as I have 2 mana. And so with Venser out, I can, if I have 10 mana, bounce 5 things, any permanent I want to. So get rid of all the creatures so we're safe, then start working on the artifacts, then start working on the lands. And basically, if for some reason you can't kill this guy, which is its own protection because I'm able to return target spell to your hand. So like we were playing a game where you were in top deck mode trying to figure out how to win, and then you tutored up Damnation. And then I said, that's fine, but honestly, I can counter Damnation. I could remand Damnation as many times as I have 2 mana. So I'm like, unless you have, 30 mana, and you can cast it a bunch of times while I keep remanding it, then you're just never going to be able to cast it. And so when you would go to cast it, and I'd bounce it back to your hand, you have to pay 4 more, but I only have to pay 2. We probably have the same mana. So basically, you just can't get these cards to be cleared.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it was like a path, then yeah, 1 mana, or swords, I should say, 1 mana beats 2 mana, and then I'll just fucking bounce as many times as you can, you pay 7 mana, it finally works, and then we're good. But yeah. Or even still, I guess I could just bounce itself, and then the spell would fizzle. So anyways, it's these two cards, the combo is a fucking major dick hair. Moving on past that, Mole Drifter, of course. You can evoke it, or you can just get 2 cards with a body. Hostage Taker, end of the battlefield, steal a artifact or creature from my opponent, and then I can cast it for as long as it remains exiled and spend mana as any color to cast it. So not only is it a remove one of your threats, if I have mana that turn or you can't kill this thing, then I can cast it on my own time, and then now I get your creature. So essentially I take your creature.
Have you thought about putting the Dimir Dragon in the deck?
What is that?
Where you can jack a creature planeswalker.
As long as you control it, and every time I would bounce it, it would get back. It would go back to you. So I can only take one thing at a time.
Right, but it's just another jack something you have.
Okay.
Effect.
Yeah, I can think about it. Something to think about. Yeah, it does planeswalkers, which is pretty cool. I have Stonehorn Dignitary. It is a 4 mana 1/4 common rhino soldier. Jesus Christ.
Rhinosaur
enters the battlefield. Because everything says that. Target opponent skips his or her next combat phase. So same thing. I should just once per turn, or as many turns as times I want to, because the ability stacks. I just make it where my opponent no longer has a combat phase. And so they have to win by other means.
So in one turn, you can bounce it a couple times and...
Say I bounce it twice. So it's three abilities.
So my next...
3 turns, you don't have a combat phase.
Right.
Massacre Worm, enters battlefield, creatures your opponent's control get -2/-2. So that would be something that it's really good in this deck because I play it once. -2/-2 is not really gonna kill much, but then I could bounce it the same turn, it becomes -4/-4. -4/-4 does do a lot. So that does kill a lot of shit.
Even if it's post combat.
Yeah. So Gaunti, good to go there. Pilgrim's Eye, yes, of course. Temporal Mastery, of course. Solemn Simulacrum. It's already going to go in here anyways, but now I just get more Enter the Battlefield effects. Noxious Gearhulk, standard card, about to rotate. Ugh. Actually playable on Commander, can you believe that? It's just because it kills a creature, like a lot of other cards do, like a lot of the Enter the Battlefield effects do, like
Necrotal
the
effect.
Yeah, all that kind of effect. But this one gains you life, doesn't have a weird downside or something like that. Pretty big body,
And yeah, it's just one of the best. It's just the most powerful of the destroy target creatures. You know what I mean? Without being an Eldrazi needing a cast spell or something like that. I don't think there's anything better. What kills more from Enter the Battlefield effect? I guess unless it destroys like everything, like, you know, like that.
I mean, there's the ones that
that exile. White Gear Hulk exile.
Yeah,
that permanently.
Yeah, that blue one that exiles it, and then it gets plus X, plus X and Y
or whatever. Yeah. There you go. That's a good one, too. Yeah. So, there's that. And then a Sphinx. It's a 5/6 flyer for 7 mana, enters the battlefield, and reveal the top 5 cards of your library. Opponent separates them into 2 piles. You put one in your hand, other than the graveyard. So, same thing. You just kind of go off with this. If you're down on cards, if you really have no cards in your hand, like, surprise, now you have a full 7, you know, or more. Entreat the Dead, of course. You know, Rhystic Study. There's, you know, all the standard ones. Cyclonic Rift. Duh. There's a lot of cards in here that it's like, duh. And now, other fun stuff. Reality Acid. Have you guys heard of this card?
Jesus.
This card is fucking gross in the right deck. Reality Acid is 2 and a blue, so it's 3 mana for an enchantment aura. You enchant a permanent. Any permanent. Your opponent's permanents, probably. Vanishing 3. Not really that relevant. This permanent comes into play with 3 time counters on it. At the beginning of your upkeep, remove a time counter from it. When the last one was removed, then you finally sacrifice the permanent. So that basically, in a fair deck, because it's only a common, this just says, like, you can remove any permanent, but it's going to take 3 turns.
Right.
So not very good. But the best part of that is that whenever Reality Acid leaves play, the Enchanted Permanent's controller sacrifices that permanent. So whenever I bounce this thing, and I exile and return to the battlefield from my Planeswalker or something else, you got to sacrifice that permanent. And it's not just creature, and it's not just artifact, it's any lands, whatever. Anything that's a dick, I just play this thing, and I bounce it. And then I bounce it again. And I bounce it again. And I just bounce it until you have no more permanents. So this is a very high-profile card. Hey,
God, I had to look this card up again to see if there was like some sort of
loophole.
Like, yeah. You read it wrong?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
It's that much of a fucking ass.
What about Bajuka Bog? Totally played anyways, right? But now I get to exile my own permanents and bring them back. So if you're playing a graveyard strategy and I have Bajuka Bog and you can't take care of it, I'm just going to fucking bounce it whenever you feel like you're getting... I feel like you're getting out of control. It's not bad. It's really not that bad. Getting down to the last stuff. Feldor Guardian. It's not super powerful, but a lot of the other bounce effects, some of the other bounce effects don't hit all permanents that you control. Like Eldrazi Displacer, which I have in here, only hits other creatures. So yeah, it's like repeatable, and you can do it as many times as you want, instant speed, but it only hits creatures. So if I have Eldrazi Displacer and Feldor Guardian out, I can flicker Feldor Guardian with Eldrazi Displacer, and then now I have the ability to flicker my lands, my Bajuka Bog, my Planeswalker to get it back up to stats, to exile that fucking stupid thing I just said, whatever, what is it called?
Acid?
Reality Acid? Yeah. So there's that, pretty sweet combo. Sun Titan, because I can just get permanents back from my graveyard that are 3 converted mana cost or less. And I have little combos with drawing cards that way as well. Reflector Mage, same kind of thing. You know, you get to bounce people's shit rather than steal it. That's okay. They can't play it next turn, so it feels pretty good.
Yeah.
Peregrine Drake, because I get to untap 5 lands, so it makes it kind of free, essentially. And I can do this on other turns, so I get to mana ramp really fucking fast with it. Clever Impersonator. Really strong card in this deck, because it's always a pretty good card, because copying any permanent commander, you're going to get more value than the 4 mana that you spent on this thing. But when I copy, it's kind of like Dimir of this, when I copy a creature or permanent, and I'm sort of done with that ability, and I have something more powerful to do, I can just flicker what it turned into, and now it turns back into a blank clever impersonator, and then I can go copy something else.
It's really diverse in that way.
And then there's Baleful Strix, of course, just for card draw, very early, you know, 2 drop, whatever. And then the last card I want to talk about is Active Authority. It is an enchantment for 3 mana. When it enters the battlefield, you may exile, target, artifact, or enchantment. And it is itself an enchantment. How weird. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may exile, target, artifact, or enchantment, you know, again, essentially. Get 2, the value of 2. But if you do, its controller gains controller of this Active Authority. But luckily... I get to exile more stuff, but then it goes back to you, and then I flicker it because I'm still the owner, or I flicker it, and because I can target your shit with my flicker stuff. And then it goes back under my control because I'm the owner of that card.
Horrible. So I
get
so
to
much.
Just... It's like my... Every few decks have like that... I get to just blow up as many artifacts or enchantments as I want to.
Right.
You know? And this is my version of doing that. Besides the Reality Acid. So yeah, it's my deck. That's it's really, really good.
Really horrible deck.
I'm really enjoying it. It's still like fair... As far as like...
Like, there's no infinite combo.
Yeah.
But...
The only thing that's not fair
is... It's about as 75% as you can get without being an asshole.
Yeah, the only thing that would... If some shit happened all the time, like... If I literally demonic tutored for my Fencer Deadeye Navigator combo every game, then yeah, we're gonna, like, ban that in the garage. Because it's not fun to play against... The same pay two mana, bounce a permanent every... You know, that's not fun.
Right.
But that shit's only happened, you know, twice ever. Once, like, for reals, and once, like, shit died right away anyways. So...
So,
Yeah.
I went up against this deck with my Lord of Windgrace deck. And it became very apparent that his changes were above and beyond anything I could currently do with the deck. So I had to go to the top shelf of my EDH collection and grab my Mirren deck.
Yeah.
And
which
that,
is like, that's like a very tier one deck.
Right. That's probably my most tier one deck. There's probably a couple spots which I can replace stuff, which with the upcoming set, Guilds of Ravnica, there's
Ooh,
some
girl.
Good replacements. But
fucking... Cause Golgari is a
Golgari.
New. It came back. Garys.
So,
Golgari's.
They paired pretty nicely together. If the game went too long, Sauce eventually took it. But if I was able to get on, you know, get the upper hand early on in the game, then my recursion would just,
you know,
outdo anything.
We sort of had this.
Do.
It was sort of the same deck. It was sort of a mirror match in the sense that. Your creatures with end of battlefield effects were the things that were wrecking me.
Right.
And the point of my deck is that same thing.
Right.
But you were like that fucking snake.
Acidic slime.
Acidic slime was, well, it was an ooze, right? It just looks like
nope.
some weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it looks
like some
weird
snakey
thing. Yeah, that thing was just so, it's pissing me off real bad.
It got to the point where like, we're not fans of unfair strategies in our playgroup, like mass land destruction or infinite combos. It just doesn't make the game fun. But I was losing so bad to Hot Sauce that I realized in most games, my only plan of action was to just acidic slime away one of his colors. So anything that
yeah, he was just
blue,
attacking one of my lands
yeah.
every fucking turn.
So I was
getting
just
really annoying.
Yeah, I was just doing that, like, you know, two times a turn, or at least once a turn, and that
yeah,
was...
because Marin brings it back to the battlefield for free. At end step,
right.
as long as you get enough loyalty counters, or experience counters, or fucking energy counters, I don't know what they are,
right.
you would just be able to, yeah, end step, cool, I'm going to go and bring it back,
and, so,
and target your shit, and now you cry.
And there's enough, you know, effects in the deck that can bring something back to the graveyard besides Mirren, and I have enough sac outlets that I could do it, you know, 2-3 times.
What's that sac outlet called? The Ashnod's Altar, is that what it is?
Yes.
So Ashnod's Altar, you know, I've always known it was a really good, powerful card. I'm just realizing more that it's like, I think it kind of belongs in every creature deck.
It has...
Like, it stops so much shit, because... You don't want your cards exiled. You'd rather have them in your graveyard. You want spells to fizzle if they have... Like, I don't know. Like, there's just shit that I... That you... It's just so fucking versatile.
Especially...
Besides the ramp. Just like the... I want to do something. I want to... Hostage Taker, one of your dudes. And you're just like... Nah, I'm just going to put it in my graveyard, dog. You go, come on, man. Like, let me steal it, dude. No, but I kind of want to make 2 mana, though.
Yeah, I kind of need this 2 mana for this instant spell
yeah.
or this, you know, ability on this enchantment.
Yes.
Or whatever it is. It is one of the artifacts in Commander that is just so ripe for infinite combos. We try and stay away from that, but in my deck, it is just for pure value of a free sack outlet. That's the most important part, is I don't have to pay anything to sacrifice my creature.
And your lands, like, you have them that you have to, like, tap the land to sack a creature, and, like, it's just, like, once per turn shit.
Yeah.
But if you tap that land because you need to make mana, it's like, haha, I have a window. Right. Ashnod's Altar never gives me any fucking window ever. Instant speed, no tricks, no, like, haha, you countered the wrong thing. Like, none of that shit matters.
Yeah, or I ran out of mana, I can't activate it again. No. Nope.
Nope. And even if, like, I go to kill Ashnod's Altar, like, you just, like, all right, well, whatever I think he's going to do, I'm probably just going to sack the creatures right now. And then you all have shit to bring that thing back anyways, I'm sure. So, like, who cares?
Yeah, there's definitely ways in the deck,
like,
to bring
Eternal
back
Witness
permanence.
Type shit, right?
Eternal
so it's
Witness,
like, whatever.
Treasure Find, a bunch of... Not Treasure Find.
Right, but you... Yeah, even still, even if I exile the graveyard, you still have, like, a card or two that takes shit from exile and put it back in the fucking graveyard.
So...
I'm like, why? Like, it's like, Magic should be where if I play the right spell, you don't get to do the thing anymore because I work so hard to get rid of it. And then it's like... Yeah, but I kind of need it, so I'm going to go ahead and bring this card from exile, from outside the game, back into my graveyard. Are you cool with that? And I'm like, no, I'm not cool with that.
So, you know how I was saying earlier that your, destroy all tap creatures is your, like, you know, common card that's a pain in the ass that nobody knew about? Well, within, I don't know, past year or so, I was playing on Magic Online. Maybe it was longer. But I went up against a guy who, it was a mirror match for the mirror deck, and he played Rift Sweeper for one and a green. It's a 2/2, no big deal, uncommon, I think. When it enters the battlefield, choose target face-up exiled card. Its owner shuffles it into the library. So, what's that enchantment, the green enchantment, where you discard a card and then you go search for a creature card and you get the... It's an old... fucking...
Yeah, it's like you said Greater Good or some fucking...
Something like
or
that.
Or like Food Chain or some fucking shit like that.
Yeah, Food Chain, I think. So I don't have that card, but I do have that Black Mythic Demon that's, you know, like Ralzeth or whatever, where you pay two life.
Razaketh, I think, or something
like that.
Yeah,
you pay two life, sack a creature.
Raza something.
Go find a card, put it in your hand.
Yeah, it's Demonic Tutor, right? Not even creature, is it? It's like any card.
Yeah, any card.
Yes, pay two life.
So basically,
fucking go for it.
I play Rift Sweeper. I put the whatever card I need from exile back in my library if I have Razaketh out or some other way.
Yeah, you have
to
other tutors. You have Sadisi and shit. You have other tutors in there.
And then I can just go find that card that was exiled and put it back into play. I think that happened with the sack enchantment, where if one of my creatures dies, you have to sacrifice this creature. Yeah, so I was able to. He got rid of it. Or exiled it. I was able to just get it back and, like, next turn put it out, and he's back to where he started. So
fuck, exile should mean more, man. It used to mean really, really big things.
Back in my day, exile used to mean something.
And now it's like, you know, it's like just one extra step. No!
So
no!
Yeah, I was really impressed with your deck, and it's horrible, and it makes me want to build more tier 1 decks.
I'm excited for the fact that it's a style that I really like.
Right.
So I wasn't sure if this was going to be... Choosing this commander, I wasn't sure if this was going to be what I wanted to play. I like Esper colors a lot, though, and I was like, ah, it's going to be fun. I got some powerful cards already. I don't have to, like, spend a lot of money or nothing on this deck. And then, once I kind of thought about doing the blink thing, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I can do something like that. And, I just fucking grabbed everything I had. And doing some research online, I discovered Reality Acid and that enchantment that enters the battlefield and exiles enchantments and artifacts, and then down does it again and blah blah blah. So yeah, obviously, like, the deck kind of built itself in a lot of ways, because, like, of course you're gonna put in Deadeye Navigator, of course you're gonna put in Venser, of course you're gonna put in, you know, Eldrazi Displacer. Like, these, they're not, it's not a very hard deck to build.
Yeah,
but I put some cashola into it a little bit, and I'm having a fucking great time.
Yeah, it's probably one of the best decks you've ever built. That along with your the Golgari deck.
No, the Gruul deck.
The Gruul deck, I'm sorry. The
Xenagos.
Xenagos deck.
That's just because, like...
That was a shitty deck to go up against because it was a one-shot deck.
Yeah.
It was, I'm going to play this big thing. It has haste and double strike, and somehow it got even bigger. And now, like, you weren't expecting it, and now I just did 40 damage straight to your face. Unblockable.
Right, that's
flying,
like...
Flying, or, like, whatever.
Now, especially that we weren't, like, one-on-one commander wasn't a thing, really, then. Like, it wasn't actual format that Wizard recognized, whatever.
Right.
It's got to be like an insane one-on-one commander. Like, it has to be.
I'm sure it can get hated out real easy with enough counter spells and stuff, but like,
I mean, I guess. Just having Indestructible itself, like, and having variants in the deck where, like, you're not always going to draw that one thing, but I'm always going to have haste and double strike, or
right.
haste and double power, I should say, and toughness. Ugh. Like, and it's indestructible. It's just like an enchantment that just hangs out. I never even attack with it, you know?
It's horrible.
Like, it's just, ugh. Against two people, like, yeah, okay, it's, like, not as bad. But one-on-one, fuck, dude. It's so, like,
yeah.
It's such a turn 5-6, I just fucking win.
Yeah.
You know?
It's bad. Nobody likes
it. It's going to be, like, a lot of ramp, so definitely not. I'm definitely not casting my leader on turn 5.
Yeah.
It'll definitely be on turn 4. Then turn 5, I get to play, like, dragons and just big, stupid things.
Anything big.
Yeah. Like I said, intro pack rares that are just,
yeah, that
you know,
nobody gives a shit about.
Nobody gives a shit, but they're just, like, 9/9s with trample, and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
It's just, now it's an 18/18.
Yeah. And so, I can just give it double strike.
And, like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's great.
No, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So,
Digital combat steps. Like, whatever.
Ugh.
But I'm not playing those cards. There are already those cards that, like, there's that one really unfair one where it's an enchantment that hangs out and you get to pay 5 mana anytime and you get an additional combat step. It's repeatable. It's just like, you just pay 5 mana. You just pay 3 and 2 red.
Ugh.
And then, so just every turn I always have 2 combat steps, or maybe 3 combat steps. And it's not like, only activate once per turn or whatever. No, it's just like, yeah, just do it. Whatever. I don't remember what it's called, but it's like Aggravated Assault or one of those cards. It's fucking gross.
Ugh.
I don't play it for the reason that, like, if you get this card, like, how do you fucking lose?
Yeah, unless all 3 other players just attack you, you know, pick on you, then it's just fucked.
Okay, here, let me read it. Aggravated Assault. It's 3 mana, so it's only 2 in a red. Ugh. You only activate the ability when you can cast a sorcery speed. But yeah, it's 3 and 2 red, so 5 mana. Untap all creatures you control. After this main phase, there's an additional combat phase followed by an additional main phase. So you just do the combat, you go to that newly created main phase, you activate this again, you go back to combat, you do it again. You know, it's however many times you have the mana. But you're playing red-green ramp. Like, you're having more mana than any deck.
And you have other ways to add additional combat.
There's, yeah, like, the combo of that one dragon that creates 6 mana every time it attacks.
Yeah.
It's infinite combo.
Ugh.
And that's just an uncommon dragon in a fucking $1 rare.
It's horrible.
You know what I mean? So, I don't play those things, because that is, like, not fun for anybody.
Yeah.
But, yeah. That's a thing.
So, you know what else is a thing these days? It used to be a thing, and then it wasn't a thing, and then now it's a thing again. And that thing is they're making Magic the Gathering books again. Actual paper in the goddamn store, Barnes & Noble books. And I, along with many other people, am very excited about this. I found their way of telling the story through the mothership was, even when they tried to make it streamlined, it was still just scattered about, not easy to find. You know, if you're not paying attention to when it comes out every one day of the week or whatever, like, it just felt disorganized, and it stopped me from wanting to read it. And plus, whoever was writing the shit at the time sucked and turned it into, like, some Goosebumps-style, you know, bullshit where the characters were, like, you know, stereotypical, like, Teen Titan Go versions of themselves where it's like, oh my god, fucking put your shirt back on, Johnny. Like,
that was aggressive. I like that.
Yeah, that was,
Johnny would do that.
That was Liliana. Anyways, I'm super stoked about it. They are going to be making the quote-unquote M19 book, which is going to lead up to the beginning of Ravnica. I think it's going to butt up against it, so it's going to, like, kind of
a little nudge.
Yeah, a little just like, hey.
All right, your turn. Come on, go get it.
Coming up. Come on, come get some.
Yeah, tag me in, coach.
Yeah. So speaking of Ravnica, Guilds of Ravnica, it's coming out way sooner, faster, hotter, stronger than anyone thought. People were like, ah, oh, we're going back to Ravnica. Ah, oh, we're going back to all these sets. Ah, bye bye. Well, I don't give a shit. Ravnica, we started playing during Gate Crash. So, you know, there's a little nostalgia there. But even better than that, the cards that have come out so far are fucking fire.
No, to start it off, they have that mythic special planeswalker set, or whatever.
Yes. So for each guild, they're going to have a essentially like a pack for each guilds, like the Ravnica mythic.
Not those ones I was talking about, though.
Not those ones.
No, I'm talking about the mythic edition, the full art planeswalkers.
Right,
but we should talk about that, too.
So, the mythic edition is a box of Guilds of Ravnica, which has 16
booster packs and 8 planeswalkers.
Okay. Nice save. 16 regular packs. 8 of these mythic packs, which are going to have one of these special full art planeswalkers, one in each of them. And it's going for like $250 or something like that.
$249.99. Not from LGS's, only from the website.
Only from the website, which is very easy to use, especially when it gets overloaded with traffic.
Yeah.
Much like the SDCC planeswalkers. So anyways, those are going to come out. Man, I really kind of would just want to go in with you and somebody else on a box or something just to, you know, it seems fun.
So let me read off the planeswalkers. Tell me I get 4, you get 4. What are we going to do? And let's talk about why we deserve which ones we deserve.
Oh, okay? I think we leave it up to the gods.
What does that mean?
Like, we just pick a random pack.
No, I would never do that.
You would never do that. Oh, man. That's,
hell no.
That's the fun.
That's
you
way...
You might get stuck with a shitty planeswalker.
No.
And then I get Teferi, and then I laugh.
That's why I'm not buying this box. Because I'm like, I only want... Realistically, I only want, like, Liliana and Teferi. And that's it. That's, like, all I care about in this pack. I don't care about the
rest
of them that
much. Because those are the only, like... somewhat playable ones. Anyways, let's go into what planeswalkers are in there. First, we have Elspeth Knight Errant, which is, you know, whatever. She's play sometimes in modern EDH, casual, whatever.
Does she play in EDH?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Teferi, hero of Dominaria. Unless you've been living underneath a rock. Then you know why this card.
What if that
is.
Rock has internet?
Then
unlike a certain
island. Is it an island?
You know, everything's an island, bro, when you think about it. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, that card's good, I hear. Raoul, is it Viceroy? Just all right, I guess. I don't even remember like what this guy does per se.
Look at the top 2 cards of your library. Put one of them in your hand, other than the graveyard. -3 deals damage. Target creature equal to total number of instant sorceries in your graveyard, or in exile also. -8. Whenever you cast instant sorcery spells, emblem deals 4 damage to any target. You draw 2 cards. I mean, it's like cool, but like, where am I going to play it?
Yeah. We have Liliana, the Last Hope, which the artwork just looks badass.
Hell yeah,
and that
does.
Card sees modern play all day. Duretti. Ingenious Iconoclast. Yeah. Don't know why that's in here. God, will you just shut up?
I'm trying to.
Man.
Tezzeret, Agent of Bolas. It's 4 mana. It's got 3 loyalty. It's the one from a while ago. I think. That's it. Yeah, it's whatever. I mean, it's cool in the right. It's like in one deck or 2 decks, it's cool. Nicol Bolas, the OG one.
And then the new Vraska Golgari Queen, which I'm very excited about.
Real quick, though, before we, because that's just a really good segue to swing into the cards, unless we want to talk about the guild packs or whatever. But if we do the 4 and 4, which ones do you want? For real. If we have to choose, you have to choose 4.
Okay, if their monetary value means nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Exactly. I agree.
I would want Vraska.
Yep.
Duretti.
Yep.
Liliana.
Yep.
And either Tezzeret or Nicol Bolas.
Okay. Okay.
And yours?
So if it were me, definitely Teferi. Liliana is probably the only card we'd really be fighting over.
Right.
Nicol Bolas, just for EDH reasons.
Right.
And then after that, it's pretty tough because it's like, I think, Yeah, it's toss-up. I don't really care, actually. It's fine. I think they're all, like, right there for me. Like, Elspeth is probably a card I can actually play in Modern. But Ral and Tezzeret, if I ever get around to playing a deck that would, like, use something like this, like, Ral I'd probably just use in EDH, to be honest, or something like that.
Yeah.
But all these, I guess...
all these cards have EDH appeal, minus yeah. Liliana, because I actually play a one of in my green-black rock deck, Modern.
I think Tezzeret. So let's say, yeah, I'll say Tezzeret, Teferi, Nicol Bolas, and Liliana. So we got to fight about Liliana the most, and then
yeah,
you, you definitely
be,
get...
We'd
you get Duretti, and you get Golgari chick. What's her name?
Vraska.
Vraska. So you only have to fight me for one card, essentially. So then I'll take I'll take the Elspeth.
I would give up Nicol Bolas for Tezzeret.
Okay. So there you go. So basically I have what's on the left of the spoiler page, and you have what's on the right of the spoiler page. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we can come to an understanding.
Yeah.
Let's kiss over it. Seal the deal.
So, also with this upcoming set, there are, I don't want to say guild packs, because that has a different meaning in
guild pack,
the Ravnica sense. But these, decks of cards that are specific to a guild, and they're not standard legal, and they have reprints of stuff, like important cards to the specific guild, and they're just pre-con 60-card, ready-to-go decks. But some of the reprints are pretty cool. Some of them don't matter too much.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. But, yeah, cool, whatever. The main part is they have these awesome fucking lands that have the...
Oh, my God.
Imprint.
Oh, my.
The image.
Whisper into my ear. Tell me.
The image of the guild
symbol. Oh, my God. Oh
the
my
image
God.
Of the guild oh symbol right below in the text
I am
box.
Like, I am like, biting the pillow and grabbing under the bed sheets right now. My toes are, like, curling. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, my socks are drenched
I'm
over
getting,
these things.
I'm getting... like Charlie horses in both legs, you know, like I'm just I'm losing it right now.
Yeah, just eat a banana. So I don't really collect too many cards.
Was that a potassium joke?
That was a potassium joke. Thank you for catching on.
You know what's fucked up is that, yeah, they have potassium.
Right.
But there's so much shit that has more potassium. But for some reason,
yeah,
bananas
like,
are like the
like radishes.
Number one.
Radishes.
Dude, like whatever.
Full of potassium.
Like so much shit. Isn't like potatoes have more potassium? Like it's fucking, I don't even know.
That's like
it's just a lot of shit that has
what?
Way
it's
more
like,
potassium.
It's like one of those positive stereotypes that's not like really true.
Yeah,
you know, like Asians are good at math. Bananas are full of potassium.
Yeah,
it's like
it's all like I'm not saying Asians are not good at math.
It's
but
just
like you don't have to just do that.
It's
fine.
Just bad to have that stereotype.
Yeah.
Why corner case people like?
Why
that?
Can't people from like Southern Alabama be fucking good at math? They can be good at math.
Oh, there's a lot of reasons why they can't be good at math, but so I collect the. Foil, what is it, MSP something, lands that have the, like, House Dimir name foiled in the text box and everything. And there's a bunch for every guild. So I think these upcoming lands that just have the symbol are going to be my new collector's thing. They're not in foil in the packs, but I think for, like, a special weekend event at LGS's, they are going to be giving out some of the foil land. So those...
Which, I mean, goddamn, we are going to be having... I'm going to fucking try to figure that shit out.
Yeah, I might actually go just to get them. And I don't think, from what I read or from what I remember reading, it's not like if you win, you get one. It's just like maybe random participation. Or it's not like if you do well, you're going to get these. It's like somehow they're going to randomly give them out. I don't fucking know. But I want them so bad.
So, more importantly than Ravnica, here's a list of 15 foods that pack more potassium than banana. Number one, avocados.
Avocado,
good for
you,
avocados.
You sneaky little fuckers.
So, you little minks. You're so good. Sweet potatoes.
Well, what do you know?
Sweet. Looks there's a Nissan Leaf on this website for some reason. I guess that has more. Spinach.
Nobody
I mean, just
spinach,
look at Popeye, dude. Those are potassium forearms.
Dude.
Watermelon.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, dude. First sentence. Watermelon is a large, delicious fruit with a high water content.
What the fucking site is this? Get out of here. Go away.
Is that the NASA website? What's going on?
Coconut water. Not a fruit, but it is a water made from...
I think water might just have potassium in it. Yeah, I think that's what they're getting at.
Okay, I don't know what
and tap water.
I don't really know what this means, except for, like, I kind of know what it means, but it just says white beans.
So if you color them in white, then it's Potassium City.
Yeah.
Potacity.
Yeah, you just drop them in white out. Yeah. All right. The term white beans can refer to navy beans, cannellini, white kidney beans, great northern beans, or lima beans.
Lima beans?
No.
Lima?
Lima.
What?
Probably lima beans. also, it has black beans on here. It's bullshit. You say beans already. You say beans that are...
Specifically white beans.
You're like, not pinto beans. That's all we got to say.
Yeah.
And then I bet pinto beans is the next one. No. Edamame?
Do you know what that is?
It's like snap pea things or something. I don't know. Inside of a fucking rotting corpse? I have no idea.
The new taste bud. The new, like...
No.
Not taste bud, no. But it's like the new category.
I know
of
what you're talking
taste.
About. It's not edamame. That's umami. It?
Umami?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Umami
oh
was,
my god.
Umami
Whoever's,
was lying
dude,
to me about
Marcel
that.
Is rolling right now. He's losing his shit. It's umami, dude.
Umami?
Yeah, umami. Look it up.
Edamame.
No.
What's umami?
Umami's the thing you're talking about. Edamame is the little beans, the little like Asian food that's like steamed and salted and you like pop out the little peas
savory.
Out of it.
Like
no. It tastes like a vegetable. Stop it. Oh my god, it's so funny. I wish No, I. You know,
you,
I wish.
You wish this
my
was
wish
recorded,
is done.
So
no. My wish is like it's been granted because you weren't joking, and you. I really got to get you on that. It's
yeah.
really funny.
Yeah, it's good.
Did you know? I'm going to teach you something, Jace.
Yeah.
You don't know a lot of things.
You're kind
of Let me
dumb.
Show you.
Listen here, dummy. I'm gonna.
Holy fuck! Number 9, tomato paste. I don't know about that one. Butternut, my squash. Butternut squash. Potatoes. Yeah, potatoes. See, I said something.
Yeah.
And the thing was right.
Yeah,
I guess.
You know
it's
stuff,
dummy. A strong guess. Dried apricots? Why not regular apricots? I don't understand. Why is that different?
Because the sun is what gives
dried
them.
Apricots full of umami. Nope, full of edamame. Swiss chard? What the fuck is Swiss chard? Also known as silver beet or simply chard, is a leafy green vegetable. What the fuck are you talking about?
You know, I was going to make some sort of, like, neutral Charmander joke. I couldn't get there fast enough.
Beets and pomegranate. List is over. Thank you very much for listening. Good night. Oh, there's a bonus one.
Honorable mention.
I'm just kidding. That'd be funny if there's an honorable mention for a fucking list of vegetables or whatever. Pretty dope.
Yeah, let's talk
those
about...
Those lands are going to be real good.
Yeah, those lands... my new collection card that I'm going to collect.
Did it spike? I hope it did.
I hope so.
So, we got some fucking spoilers. Kitties at home need to follow along. You know, pause this in your car, get home, get on the computer, or pull out your phone while driving and stare at mythicspoiler.com/new spoilers.
Backsplash.
Backsplash.
You gotta look at it
backsplash.
In your bathroom.
Backsplash. No, in the kitchen.
Whatever.
So get in your kitchen.
Get in your kitchen.
I guess
the
bathroom could have it too, I guess. Maybe. Behind next to cabinets. You got a really fancy bathroom and you have a backsplash? Maybe. So, we are gonna look at...
Are we going by days?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Okay, newest spoiler.
So
I haven't done this in a while, I'm sorry.
September 1st. Okay? We don't need to talk about everything. You look at a card and be like, yeah, I like the card.
It's right? Almost as if you like saw me thinking and you're like, well, you don't need to go through
You don't
anybody.
Need to like, don't read every card.
Settle
just,
down.
Just pick 10. We'll have fun. I'm going to start us off with the simple shit. I'm going to go for the real low-hanging fruit. This shit's already on the ground. It's been there for a while. We all know about it. We're not doing anything about it, though.
It's rotten.
Steam vents, overgrown tomb, temple garden, watery grave, sacred foundry,
you've heard the name of these important land cards to the modern format, and of course in Standard when they're around, and, you know, Commander, Legacy, Vintage, I mean, like, there's got to be a person out there, I'm sure. But yeah, they're super important. They're fetchable because they have the land types. So it says land, island, mountain. And so when a card is looking for a forest card, this is a forest card. Just because it taps for green does not mean it's a forest. This thing says it does, and so there you go. You probably already knew that, but for anyone out there that's really not familiar with why these lands are going to be so important for the reprint and for the Standard format and sweet new art, then that's the reason why. So they come out untapped as long as you pay 2 life. If you don't want them to come out untapped because you got nothing to do with it, don't pay 2. Or you should always pay 2 and make sure that your opponent is scared of their next turn. So you play a land and it's blue and you leave it untapped. You pay 2 mana or 2 life and you leave it untapped. And then they're like, huh, they just got their land untapped. That means that something's going to happen. I need to pay attention. And then you don't do anything. And then you're like, yeah, that was worth it. But it's pretty sweet. These lands were $10. I don't even think they're going to go down. I think that like 2 of them will probably go down to like $6. And then the other 3 are probably going to be at like $12. I think they're going to be so played.
When I bought mine a while ago, they were like between 15 and 8, depending on, you know, what colors they were.
Like the red-black one is always the cheapest, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the most expensive one is going to be like Steam Vents.
Or the blue-green one, depending.
Or, yeah. Same thing with like Misty Rainforest is going to be like, yeah, the good fetch lands or whatever.
So, yeah, these are back. And I'm not even sad about it.
I think it's fine.
I feel like I'm putting them in so many fucking decks that my playset is all spread out through different formats and different decks, and I need some more.
I mean, the new art is dope. I think on like Steam Mints especially is like really cool art, and I want to replace all my Steam Mints with these ones. That's kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, I like that the guild, you know, symbols in the background. Of course, that's like normal. But still, I just like the little watermarks. Pretty badass. So moving past that, I mean, I think those are the only cool lands that are from the set, would you agree? That have been spoiled so far? Right now they spoiled like 150 out of the 250 cards, something like that.
Yes.
There's like there's like a couple more rare lands, but they're not like really exciting or nothing, so. So let's see here. Let's see some powerful stuff. I'll start us out with a Goblin Rabble Master sorta reprint. It is same mana cost, so 2 and a red, if you remember it back in Standard from like M15 and shit. It's 2/2 for 3 mana, and it has 2 abilities on it, like the last one. So this one has Mentor, which is a new ability that's in archetype, whatever, that's in the fucking set. Mentor reads, whenever this creature attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on target attacking creature with lesser power. So, that's pretty sweet. This interacts with itself because at the beginning of combat on your turn, create a 1/1 red goblin creature token. That token gains haste until end of turn and attacks this combat if able. So, if you play it on your first main phase, when you move to combat, you create a 1/1 with haste. And then, if you attack with this guy, the Legion War Boss, then because he has 2 power and your token only has 1... before combat damage is dealt, this trigger will go on the stack, saying that it gets a counter, and so now you're attacking with a 2/2 Legion War Boss and a 2/2 Goblin.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Still, I think, the other dude was better.
The other dude is better because he could just hang back, and right. This guy can hang back too, actually, but basically, when you get to the point where you don't have to hang back any farther, it would be a super big threat. You'd be attacking for 7 or something like that, and this guy is not. This guy is just making one of your 1/1s bigger. Which is sick. Right.
Only when he attacks, though, which is sad.
Yeah.
But
so,
I think it would be busted if Mentor was different.
Yeah, and it's pretty fucking close, though. I think it'll serve like basically exactly the same role. And, I mean, it'll definitely see play in the red deck. I don't really know why creating a 1/1 every fucking turn is not going to be an important thing. And there's probably other shit with Mentor that you can play that you don't have to attack with necessarily him, because he's just going to generate value on his own. You could play other shit, you know, fucking 2/1s or whatever the hell's out there, and like, okay, Boros Challenger. It's not a very, you know, exciting card, but it's a 2/3 for 2 mana, Boros colors. It's got Mentor, and it's got pay, it's got an ability 4 mana. This thing gets +1/+1 till end of turn. So already we give a 2/3 on turn 2. That's attacking the same turn, because turn 3 you're going to play your fucking, your goblin, your Legion War Boss. And so now you're attacking with this 2/3 and turning that goblin token into a 2/2. And yeah, like, it just, you know, red's going to have ways to get around the Legion dude attacking on its own every time. So, so Narcomoeba's back. Narcomoeba, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, that is a key player in some of the dredge decks.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some sort of Golgari slash...
For sure.
What's the three color? Why can't I? Sultai.
Sultai.
Sort of reanimated.
Cares about graveyard stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, Narcomoeba's not crazy. It's a 1/1 flyer for 2 mana, but...
Just the fact that you're always going to get
Yeah,
back.
You always say... When it's put into the graveyard from your library, you put it on the battlefield. So, like, this has a new mechanic built in that is Surveil. Surveil's kind of like Scry, except instead of... So you, like, look at the top card, like Scry 1, you look at the top card. But instead of putting it on the bottom of your library, which is fine, that's cool, it's okay, I'm not drawing that. But putting it on the bottom of your library doesn't really do anything else. Like, you can't really interact with the bottom of your library.
Right.
It's in your deck, so I guess you can shuffle it and get lucky, or you can, like, tutor for stuff. But besides those, like, really specific things, bottom of your library is not, that's not really that cool. It just says, like, hey, you're not drawing it this turn, so good for that.
Right.
But Surveil means you look at the top card of your library and then put that into your graveyard or back on the top of your library so you draw it. So... Now, instead of, it's better than putting it on the bottom of your library because...
Far better.
Yeah, because decks actually care about the graveyard, like a lot of decks. Not just like, oh, it's a graveyard deck. It's just like, I bring shit back, 3 animator. It's a, you know, no, like, there's a lot of, you know, counts, for instance, of sorceries. How many creatures do you have? Snapcaster type stuff. You know, there's like a million fucking reasons. Even like flipping over Search for Iskanto. Like, there's a million fucking reasons you want a lot of cards in the graveyard.
Yeah.
And specific cards. So, this is... Better than Scry in basically every way, unless you have something that interacts with, like, a tutor, or you just want to get lucky with, you know, shuffling your deck. But really, you want shit to be in your graveyard.
If you're going to put something like this in your deck is going to care about the graveyard. So it's only going to help you. If you put something like this that's not in, that you can't benefit from, then you're doing it wrong, you know? At least in a constructive.
If you're standpoint. Listening to this cast, you're probably doing it wrong.
Probably. And okay, so me and Hot Sauce were talking earlier. I think this is all the cards haven't even been spoiled yet, and I think this is the biggest card to come out of the set and probably will be for a long, long time, and that is Assassin's Trophy.
Wait, we're going, you're skipping way far ahead. You don't want to talk about any cards from lower.
I skipped over the Planeswalker decks.
Okay.
And then you said not to talk about every card, so...
Oh, okay. All right, let me move up. I'm moving up a little slow. Sorry to slow the cast down.
Poo-poo cards.
I just see a lot. I'm moving up very fast. Okay, I'm with you now. I'm on the date following at home, September 10th.
Okay, so Assassin's Trophy. For a black and a green, that's an instant destroy target permanent an opponent controls. Its controller may search their library for a basic land card, put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle their library. Destroy target permanent.
Instant speed.
Instant speed, 2 mana. Holy fuck. Isochron Scepter much? Much too much.
Just anything. Snapcaster Mage getting this back?
I mean, this is going in every format. Tiny Leaders, yeah. Commander, sure. Modern, of course. Standard,
I mean, definitely.
Hey there.
Like, Commander,
oh,
of course.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, for a lot of reasons, but especially Commander, I feel like, of course, you're going to play something that can target anything on the board. I mean, of why?
And in Commander, oh, they have one extra land.
Yeah, it's not a race like Modern. Yeah. No way. No fucking way is it not going to be played. If you're playing green and black, who cares what you're even doing? Like, you're going to play this card.
Oh, that's just...
Like, you're playing white, you're not going to play Swords to Plowshares? Is that, like, why? Like, I understand you shouldn't put 10 target removal spells in your deck, but just play, like, 4. Just play, like, a couple few that you can just kind of get when you need to. No big deal. It's not going to win you the game, but, yeah, play the things.
Oh, what is that? Planeswalker? Bye-bye. Oh, what is that? You know, a utility land?
See you Tron later. Land?
Yeah, Tron Land, whatever it is, holy fuck, that is just too good, and I want them all. And it's only rare, too.
It's only rare.
Only rare. That's weird.
I agree that it should only be rare, because there's not a lot of mythics that have text like this.
Right.
Mythics
right.
are saved for, like,
crazy creatures other stuff. Or enchantments.
Yeah, also, if this was a mythic, that would really suck, because it'd be so popular that, like, the price would be, like, $100. It'd be like Jace, because Jace is a 4-of in so many decks. It has to go to 80 fucking bucks because everyone's going to play it.
It's just...
Like if Fatal Push was a rare, instead of being $8, the thing would be fucking $30, you know, $40.
Yeah, it's just a super push card. Yeah, it's going to be all over the place. Chromatic Lantern got a reprint, which is nothing too crazy, but, you know, with the guilds trying to work 4-color, 3-color deck...
Yeah, and it was in Return to Ravnica, so that's good too, you know.
Yeah, and just mostly to make the price go down a little bit for all my EDH decks.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, bro. Hell yeah.
You said you liked Mr. Mizzet?
You hear that Predator burp?
That was very good. You're just full of bodily functions.
Mizzet Perrin? I don't know what that means. Perrin. It's really fucked up mana. It's fucking blue, 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 red, red, red. Why? I don't know. But I guess if you have Chromatic Lantern out, then you don't even care. So this thing is 6 mana for a 5/5 that can't be countered. It's flying, and it has 2 really strong triggered abilities. Whenever you draw a card, it deals 1 damage to any target. And whenever a player casts an instant or sorcery spell, which is you or an opponent or whomever, someone at the table next to you, you draw a card. So if they go to kill... So first of all, they can't counter it. So it's like in standard... If you are playing these 2 colors, you can make the mana work, and this will be a sweet finisher, because they're all blue is always looking for, you know, 2 copies of 1 card that can come in and just fuck shit up. You know, it could be like Lyra in like the Teferi type deck, or it could have been like Aetherling back in the day. There's a lot of like options for something like this. Now this, why I feel like it's so good, even though it's not going to be expensive nor played in modern, but or whatever else. But I think it's very powerful. In this deck that you're playing a lot of instant sorcery spells. That's what the deck's going to be. It's not going to be some like dragon creature deck. It's meant for many, many spells. And then if your opponent goes to kill it, A, you get to draw a card in response. B, you can go ahead and cast an instant, like an op, to see what's going on, and then you draw 2 cards in response. Like, essentially, you give buying yourself more chances to save this guy, if your deck supports it. And if not, you're still at least getting 1 card. It's replacing itself, you know, at very least. That's like the worst-case saddest scenario, you know what I mean? I guess it could get, like, board wiped, but probably not. You're playing... They know you're playing a control deck. They're probably not playing board wipe, so... And then, yeah, and then whenever you draw a card, you do 1 damage to any target, so all of your burn spells get +1 to the thing, so Lightning Strike turns into 4 damage, and it draws you a card because you cast an instant. So it's, yeah, it's really good. You cast an instant, you draw a card, triggers the 1 damage, so then your Lightning Bolt turns into 4 damage, you drew a card. It's like, it goes off. It can go off. It seems like kind of its own little weird storm thing going on.
It could
be
like the top end of like a tempo burn deck or something.
Yeah, we got Goblin Electromancer in the set. You know, that's cool.
And that little flyer that gives all wizards +1/+1.
Yeah.
You know, the turn, fly, you know, and haste.
I don't know if it'd fit in that deck, but I still, like, I agree that you could just kind of one-shot somebody if you really wanted to do a bunch of op-type stuff, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And chart a course and all that kind of shit and just go off like that. So, yeah, I like that card. I don't know if it's going to see play. I don't know how it would, you know, it'd be in one deck. But I think that card specifically, is really fucking powerful. Really, really powerful.
Speaking of powerful cards, and not really talking about standard, talking about EDH, is Izoni, Thousand-Eyed, for 2 black, black, green, green. Legendary Elf Shaman. It's 2/3. Has Undergrowth, which is the Golgari mechanic. When this thing enters the battlefield, create a +1/+1 black and green insect creature token for each creature card in your graveyard. So... it's all right, you know, if you're milling yourself a lot, it's pretty good. But the activated ability is green and a black. Sacrifice another creature, you gain 1 life and draw a card. And the reason I got a boner for this card is because it's a creature. It has a low activated ability cost for sacrificing a creature.
Has an enter the battlefield effect because you want that in your deck because it keeps coming back, not from your hand, but just getting on the battlefield, not cast.
Exactly. And then it has card draw, so it just fits right into my Mirren deck. Like,
yeah, make 10 1-1s, and then Ashnod's Altar if you need to make 20 mana. Yeah. Next turn or whatever, that turn, I guess. And then if not, you're just like, okay, here and there, I'm going to go ahead and just pay two, gain a life sack, a card, draw a card. I'm just going to keep, like, just making sure my hand is, like, relatively, you know, fat, and it's just, like, a lot of versatility.
Yeah.
And same thing, okay, you know, I don't really want to kill this thing, it's just a fucking 2-3, who cares? But say you sacrifice it and it dies, and you're like, all right, well, cool, I'm going to go and get it back with Mirren, and we're going to have to do it again. I'm going to fucking make 30 mana this time. And, you know, you just go from there.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's pretty gross. Yeah, you want to talk about March of the Multitudes?
I sure do. Thank you for asking. It is X green, white, white for an instant. Has Convoke, which I think is the most crucial part of this card. It says, create X 1-1 white soldier creature tokens with lifelink. It's an instant. It has Convoke. X, green, white, white. So, that might not seem like a big deal. Almost every other card in this cycle of instant X, you know, multiple colors of mana, they've done things. They've seen some limelight. You know, they've had their 15 minutes of fame. So, it can be...
Sphinx's Revelation, anybody? Ha!
I mean, obviously, in standard, yeah, it could do stuff. In my mind, I'm thinking, of course, EDH in my tokens deck. All my, you know, I have 10 tokens out on the board, open mana. End of turn, I fucking rip this for, you know, one each for one of my tokens, and then whatever mana I have saved up. And then if I have, what's the red god?
Perforos,
or Impact Tremors, or anything like that, just the enter the battlefield effects, and just or just having a bunch of dudes, and then next turn, Beastmaster's Ascension or something. It's just the perfect end step fucking spell to win next turn.
Yeah, and there's that one that's an instant for just white and X, and you get to make a bunch of soldiers, not ones that are warriors. I think Secure the Wastes,
right?
But A, they don't have lifelink. B, their only mana, they don't have Convoke.
Right.
So, Convoke also, just because I forget this from time to time, so I'm going to say it and just think that somebody else forgets it too, is that it's not just like the one that's for artifacts where it just makes a colorless mana. It'll also, any of your creatures will tap for whatever color they are. So, technically, you could be tapped out, no mana available, and you have six creatures. And, you know, two of them are white, one of them is green, at least one of the colors on that card is. And you can go ahead and tap all six creatures and create 3/1s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you probably won't because you want to get maximum value, but this card is so versatile that you could be tapped out and still cast a 6-mana spell.
Yeah.
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 You did it.
I don't even know.
So good. I'm speechless.
Yeah.
Speech. I have no speech.
The speech is gone.
Speech is gone.
Guild Gates,
yeah, there's going to be gate stuff going on. We'll probably not talk about those, but they're there, and they have limited cards that'll interact with them. Okay, here's a card you're actually going to talk. You're going to see, okay?
I'm
Goblin looking. Crater Maker. You're going to see this card played, so be ready. It's 1 and a red. It's 2/2. It's Goblin Warrior. It's 2/2 for 2. Fantastic. Pay a colorless, or just a generic whatever mana. Sacrifice the Goblin. Choose one of these abilities. 2 damage target creature. Okay, that's good. I mean, like, a 2/2 for 2 that you can sack and then do 2 damage or something, like, that's fucking playable already.
Right.
At least in limited, for sure. Next one, though, a little better. Destroy target colorless non-land permanent. Basically, it would say, like, destroy target artifact. That's basically what it says. But besides that, it says destroy Karn, or colorless kill Walking Ballista, kill Hangerback Walker.
Kill Karn.
I already said Karn twice, yes. And then kill... I mean, there's a lot, it's more... It's I mean, just as saying just artifact, probably be a good card on its own. But now you get to have a card in the sideboard for a red aggro deck in Modern, or I guess Standard for now too, that will do multiple things. You know, kind of like what Damping Sphere was getting, everyone's getting so hyped about.
You know, it's like
it's kind of like Is It Charm.
It's like a spell, but stapled onto a goblin.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know, stapling these powerful abilities onto creatures, whether they're repeatable or whether you have to sack it, just makes it more versatile and easier to use.
Yeah, and goblins, I don't think, has a way to kill Karn. You know what I mean?
Right.
So this is good that it has that. And, yeah, it's not what's your frills, but I mean, if you have foils of this card, or you want to go invest on foils of this card, I imagine that they'll probably pay off pretty well, because this kind of like a braid.
That's what I was trying to think of.
Oh, really? Okay. So braid foils are like, I don't know, they're like $10 or something like that or more, because a braid does essentially these two things, but just a spell. Now this is a creature that you can just use to beat down. Because you don't need to kill anything. You're like you're pulling ahead, so you're fine. And the other one, even though it's an expensive foil, like you can't hit the player's face. All you can do is kill creatures and artifacts. But it shows that versatility on really cheap stuff matters. Look at like Colgan's Command and all that kind of shit that came out before, you know, like it's good. A lot of versatility, real, real fucking good. So you definitely see that one for Shizzle.
So this is an interesting card.
Give me.
Secrets of the Mausoleum. One in a black for an instant has undergrowth. Search your library for a black card with converted mana cost less than or equal to the number of creature cards in your graveyard. Reveal it, add it to your hand, then shuffle your library.
So I looked up this card on TCG Player to see what their pre-order prices were going, because I was like, pretty sure I'm going to spec on this card. Like, this is going to be
it's
a card that I go into.
It's already high.
It's already high, yeah. I was like, fuck! So, I don't know what it's like, $15 or something like that?
I feel like almost every black EDH deck I have has some sort of graveyard shenanigans to it already, just inherently.
You like that?
Is that a question?
Yeah.
Okay, good. They already have graveyard strategies built into them naturally, and so this can easily slot into zombies or my Axis of Evil. Or Mirren, of course. There's just so many possibilities for it, you know? And it just says black card, not permanent, not, you know, anything else, not, zombie card. There's a lot of versatility to it.
Yeah, this is one of those, you know, foils will be expensive, but even the regular one will be expensive. It's not going to be as good as something, say, that, what was that? That two mana one that you could, like, -2/-2 to a creature, or you can discard a card and do more stuff. Escalate or whatever.
Oh, Collective Brutality.
Yeah, it's not going to be like that, but it will be, because, yeah, A, it's not as versatile as that, and B, it didn't start off at $1.80 for pre-orders, or whatever that card was at, so.
Yeah, I ordered that super cheap, and I just found my playset, so yay!
Fantastic, a card's like $30 or something, isn't it?
It's something ridiculous. It's
fucking really good.
Probably going to just sell those off.
Yeah, exactly. So, it doesn't fall quite in that category, but it's... if it goes down to, say, $5 or something like that, I'm probably going to go in on it. Because I think that there's going to be a strategy in Modern that's going to play four of these or something like that. And so, yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking is going to happen. Is that it's going to be one of those new necessary cards for, like, to revive an old strategy or some shit like that. So, we're cruising right past a lot of shit. Because a lot of shit's like, yeah, it's fine. Like, you know, it's cool, but not changing the whole fucking game. I'm moving all the way up to, what is this? September 13th, I think? Yeah. So we have Mission Briefing. Blue, so 2-mana instant. Surveil 2, obviously I'm going to mention it again, but look at the top 2 cards of your library, then put any number of them into your graveyard, and the rest on top of your library in any order. Kind of like Scry. Okay, so you do that, then you choose an instant or sorcery card in your graveyard. You may cast that card this turn. If that card would be put into your graveyard this turn, exile it instead. So this thing says you may cast that card this turn. That does not mean that you can cast sorceries at instant speed. So even though you do this, you target a sorcery, You can't do that. Just making sure, you know. Snapcaster, same way.
You still have to abide by the timing rules.
Exactly. But this is the same thing as Flashback, essentially. When you cast it, it goes to exile. You get to do it, you know, second time, whatever. So instead of Snapcaster being a 2-1 body left over and the battlefield effect, this instead is you get to mill 2 if you want to and then target it. So, you know, in a really narrow way, it's better than Snapcaster Mage. Think about that. And the rest of it, though, no, it's more like, this is probably more like how Snapcaster Mage should have been printed.
Yeah. Delicious.
Yeah. Really good card, though. I don't know exactly, like, the 2 blue mana is pretty tough as well. Like, not being blue and 1, that's pretty rough. So it does, like, limit what you can do with the card, I think. But I guess maybe not, because you're not really playing it on turn 2. You know,
no,
you do play it later.
Line, yeah.
So I guess it doesn't. It's not as bad as I'm thinking. But if you're playing this for 2 blue, and then the thing you're targeting is also 2 blue, like a counterspell, then you're like, oh my god, I can't even fucking cast this bitch. So yeah.
So, all you Dimir fans out there, get ready for Lazav the... Oh, wait, this card sucks. The Multifarious? It's blue and a black.
Is that a new gender term?
I'm ashamed that you would even suggest that as a new term. It's always been there. So it's a 1/3 legendary creature, shapeshifter. When this thing enters the battlefield, surveil 1. And then the activated ability is pay X. Lazav the Multifarious becomes a copy of target creature card in your graveyard with converted mana cost X. Except its name is Lazav and it's legendary, blah, blah, blah. And it has this ability. It's just a shittier version of the previous Lazav, which is kind of disappointing when they do that. It's like, cool, they have all this open space to work with, and then it's just a strictly worse version of the previous card. I know that's not fair. I hate it when people do that. Oh, well, this isn't as good as that one thing. But it's when it's literally the same character, it makes me a little angry.
I think this card's real good, though.
Makes me multifarious.
I think that being able to have more control of what you are changing this into is good. So, like, you can, you know, block and then target a thing and trick somebody if they're not paying attention. You're not exiling the card from the graveyard, so it still counts. You can still count on, like, you know, your undergrowth type stuff or whatever. So you still have that, you know, that count. Not every time you target something that it's like, exile that card, this thing becomes a copy of it.
I mean, yeah, if there's a soul tie, you know. If there's a soul tie graveyard deck.
Of course there's going to be a soul tie graveyard
deck. You know,
deck.
Then I could see like maybe a one of or something, but it's just so narrow. I can't get down with it.
I don't know, man. I think it's still good. Yeah. I think it's good.
I think you're good.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. What a compliment for the... We're having a heated debate, and it's like, you're pretty. It's like, oh, thanks, dude. It's really cool. I'm going to talk about Doom Whisperer.
Do it.
Doom Whisperer is a 5-mana, 6/6 flying trample with upside. That's pretty much it. Moving on. It's amazing. It's a mythic. It's fucking fantastic. It's not going to be $1 million, but it's sort of like, why? What, you know, maybe it will be. I don't know. This fucking card is really good. It's sort of like Brimaz or something like that. It gets spoiled, and you're like, I don't know what this thing's going to do, but it's really fucking powerful. So, like, I guess throw it in stuff that has the same color.
I mean,
was Brimet in, like, token decks? No, it was just, like, this is just it's like Tarmogoyf. It's like, I don't know, this is just a good fucking card, right? I guess we just throw it in there.
Yeah, it's a 6/6 for 5 with flying and trample. Already pretty good. Pay 2 life, so anytime you can do something without having to pay mana, that's great. So surveil 2. That way, if you are playing shitty fucking stupid face Mick, what's his name? Lazav, you can pay 2 life and still have mana left over to turn Lazav into whatever goes in the graveyard with Surveil.
Do it.
Ooh.
So,
fucking combo wombo.
Also, these stats, I believe, have never been printed before. So a 6/6 flying trample for 5 mana, those stats... So this is pushed more than any creature has been pushed before, as far as like not having like stipulations or downside or like weird stuff like that. There hasn't been any flyers that have 6/6 and trample for that low of mana cost ever printed in Magic.
I'll believe you.
So it's just like, that's the one other thing too, is that maybe it's not like pushing it super far, but I mentioned to you earlier that, like, you know, years back, there was a 4-mana 6/6 with flying and trample that said that I can't win the game and you can't lose the game. That's how much of a downside they needed with something that had flying and trample. Basically, it means, right, like, I'm getting through no matter fucking what. It's practically saying, you know, unblockable. So, yeah. It's really fucking good.
You know what's really fucking good is Knight of Autumn. For 1 green and a white.
White.
It's a 2/1 Dryad Knight. So you're like, whatever. When it enters the battlefield, choose one. Put 2 1/1 counters on this thing. Meh, alright. I mean, cool, I guess.
It's 4/3 for 3. I mean, it's like, I'd play that. I wouldn't, like, main deck 4 in any deck.
Yeah.
But it's cool.
And then one of the other abilities. One of the other,
I like you talking, boy.
One of the other abilities, you gain 4 life. Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, if you're up against a burn deck or something, I guess you could do it. And, like, yeah, whatever. Oh, wait, there's a third option, destroy target artifact or enchantment. Destroy target artifact or enchantment is good and all, and gaining 4 life is good and all in counters, but just the ability to do any of the 3 when it enters the battlefield, specifically when you co-co into this motherfucker.
Pacifically.
It's going to be a modern superstar because it's what's his name? But better, right?
Reclamation Sage.
Yeah, Rex Sage.
Rex Sage. Or, what is the 3/2 that comes back with Persist?
Kitchen
Finks.
Yeah.
It's like better. So I have.
Except it doesn't come back.
Right. So in my Abzan Blink deck that I have in modern, which is like one of the 2 modern decks I actually have built. I'm going to replace Kitchen Finks with this guy. See how it goes. I think it's going to do well.
Probably, I mean, be really good.
Having a 2/1 that gains 4 life is the same as Kitchen Finks minus the 1 free block it gets. But it's still gaining 4 life and you end with a 2/1. Like, it's the same thing. So, even in, like, its worst form, it's sort of kind of like Kitchen Finks. And then he still has the flexibility of Rex Age and just being a 4/3 for 3, which is great also. So, it's pretty fucked up, man. You know, if this thing, Panharmonicon, it's not going to be legal anymore in Standard, but I do play 1 copy of Panharmonicon in my Blink deck, and that would be very fun as well. Just to make it, like, extra big, gain 8 life, or, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to destroy an artifact and go ahead and make it into a 4/3. Like, why not? We'll just do it all.
Okay, I just read this card for the first time, and, I mean, it's not great by any means. It's just weird. Creeping Chill for 3 and a black. It's a sorcery. Creeping Chill deals 3 damage to each opponent, and you gain 3 life. Not that big of a deal. When this thing is put into your graveyard, oh, from your library. Never mind, I didn't read it right. Anyways, if you surveil it, you may exile it. If you do, it does 3 damage to each opponent, and you gain 3 life. So you can kind of get a free effect from it.
Oh, that is kind of... Okay, no, that's cool.
I was reading it that's as cool. Whenever it goes into the graveyard anytime, but... You know,
okay.
From the library.
No, that's sick, though. Like, there's not a lot of free ability, like, Narcomoeba-type abilities in Magic, right? They just, like, it just happens if this happens. Like, that's sick if you mill this over. Yeah, okay. So you surveil this, put in your graveyard from your library. You may exile it. If you do, deal 3 damage, and you gain 3. I mean, that's fucking sick.
It's not huge, but the fact that you can do it for free when you're surveilling, which is already, you know, having so many other benefits... That's actually a decent little
fucking card.
Bro, it's fucking
cool. Like, obviously, Narcomoeba sucks as casting for 2 mana. But you're trying to get it where... Man, that's fucking awesome.
But that's the thing I think that's going to be happening with Surveil is that it's not going to be like, oh my gosh, this is an overpowering effect. It's just a consistency, an annoying consistency... That's going to trigger, like, the Narcomoebas and then maybe multiple Creeping Chills. And it's like, fuck, dude. Like, it just keeps happening. Like, they're chipping away at me.
I'm not going to lie. I'm sort of, like, really stoked on Creeping. I haven't heard this either, so. Bro.
Yeah, I know.
Like, think about, like, Modern. and like modern dredge stuff, and you're just like stinkweed imping this bitch, and you hit two of these, and it's hits your opponent for six.
Yeah,
you could just be like, all right,
six?
You're like, all right, I'm gonna like faithless looting, and then I'm gonna hit you for six.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
No, it doesn't work. Faithless looting. My bad. It doesn't because it doesn't hits your hand first. Fuck. Okay.
So library it has to be. It has to be a mill effect.
Yeah. So it has to be. So it has to be more the Sultai one. It has to be the what's the one mana, the two mana one one.
Dredge.
No.
Surveil.
No, stop. The green
cipher.
One for two mana. You look at the top four. Put the rest in your graveyard. Take a land.
Oh, Satyr Wayfinder.
You Satyr Wayfinder. That style of deck, and then you have like the other one that's like the green black one. That you get to look at the top five and put a land or creature in your hand or whatever that is, just like an instant.
Like
whatever those cards are, that whole type. You do those, and then those you look at, and then you put them in your graveyard. They don't go to your hand ever.
Yeah.
So those would trigger. So those are the ones that you're paying two mana to get a creature or a land, but then you're like, oh my god, I just hit two Creeping Chills. I got to gain six, and you just hit for six, while still getting the graveyard shenanigans going. You're still getting all that.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm really high on this card right now.
Yeah,
holy fuck, it's fucking awesome.
Golgari or Sultai action.
Oh my god.
Have a little fun moto deck.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm like, that's fucking awesome. Yeah, and if it's in your hand, I mean, like, you're still gonna, like, surprise kill somebody, probably. You know, you swing out or whatever, and then your opponent's like, alright, that's fine, I'm gonna block until I have, like, two life. I'll win next turn, I'm digging, I got some card draw, blah, blah, blah. And then you just, like, hit him with this for four mana because it's in your hand, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, God forbid it's still, you know, hopefully close out the game.
Fucking eight,
What
dude.
About Ritual Suit?
I'm really high on this card.
What?
I'm really high on this card.
I'm glad.
What is Ritual Suit? What is that?
Yeah. Tell us all about it.
Ritual of Suit?
Yeah, that one.
Ritual of Suit.
Yeah.
Right. Destroy all creatures.
I like food.
And that's it. I like. Four mana, destroy all creatures with Vert Coned Nama cost three or less.
You're ruining it now.
You ruined it.
It's mana.
It's soot. So yeah, four mana wrath, but it only hits converted mana cost three or less, which is not Damnation, so that's a bummer. But just like that white one that did three or more, that three mana cost or more wrath that came out from like Amonkhet or whatever, those like fucking those where the cards were turned sideways, it was like the
gotcha.
Anyways, yeah. So I mean, it could be good, like in the right deck.
I mean, it's
in the one or two decks that could play this. This will be fucking awesome.
It's a perfect sideboard card. Perfect sideboard card. You're like, fuck, I'm going up against mono red.
Oh, it is good like that. Yeah,
I'm just gonna bring
because four mana wraths are like not around. And five mana sometimes take too long. You might be dead to mono red. Also, four mana, like, you are... If you can play this on curve, like, the only things that have been fucking played are three mana or less. So you kill everything that your opponent has.
I think it's a really good sideboard card for any sort of...
And then your opponent plays Hazoret. Yeah, they want to be around. But your opponent plays Hazoret, but he still has cards in hand. And so then you play Teferi after this card, and then you put Hazoret back into the fucking library, three from the top. And then you go proceed to win
and
the game.
And then you Creeping Chill. That's game?
Game!
And then you don't even say game. You just extend your hand to the other
and
side.
Then, and then my opponent goes, Creeping Chill. He's never met you once.
Yeah.
The card's never been on camera yet.
No.
But he just... You just know you found your new best friend.
Yeah. And you know what? You're like, do you want to draw? And then you go have sex with him afterwards.
No, you guys draw.
That's what I just said.
No. No. Like Titanic draw. Like sketch.
Okay, good.
Naked sketching at each other.
So we have Tristani.
Have two artists ever sketched each other while they're both naked? Like both of the drawings are of another person drawing naked? I want to sketch you. Like the person's going to be bored while they're naked for fucking 3 hours. Why can't they also sketch?
I think it's just they just rather be naked too. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah, I'm sketching you naked, but do you mind if I... It's getting a little...
Yeah, can I get naked?
Getting a little sticky in here. Mind if I, Tristani, Discordant for 3 green and a white. It's a 1/4 legendary creature, Dryad. Other creatures you control get +1/+1. When this motherfucker enters the battlefield, create 2 1/1 white creature tokens with lifelink. And at the beginning
that's
of
your... That's 5 power over 3 bodies.
That is a lot of bodies. And at the beginning of your end step, each player gains control of all bodies they own. All creatures they own. So, I mean, you know, it's that more bottom, of an EDH that, flavor yeah. to it.
That bottom text is like, so when is that going to be relevant in Standard in like 6 months?
Hostage Taker?
No, because... No. Because it's not on the battlefield.
Yeah, but if Hostage Taker plays the card...
Does that work? It's not, no, because it's an exile. That doesn't matter. It's not like there.
Yeah, but Hostage Taker, you can play that card later on.
Oh, after they play it.
Yeah, after they play
it. Just don't play it. Just don't play it. Never play it. My bad. I thought you meant it like you cast it, and it's, or you don't cast it. It's like, I don't. You don't get that shit back.
And Dimir Spybug, which is just a limited fucking bomb, I think, for blue and a black flying insect. It's 1/1.
I think for sure you're going to see Dimir Spybug in... standard queues on MTGO and so, in like Arena for sure. I think it'll like
oh Arena 100% for sure
be in like the F&M style decks. Absolutely. So I agree with the limited, but I mean besides that, I think like tier 2.5 and past are gonna fucking play the shit out of this card.
So Flying Menace, and then whenever you surveil, put a 1/1 counter on it. So like,
dude, all I do is surveil.
Yeah,
I surveil all for that I for do those is surveil for those. You know, chickadees.
Creeping chills.
Yeah, I give girls the creeping chills when I surveil the scene at yeah, the high school.
There's like a white guy rap in there somewhere.
Yeah. You don't surveil a high school?
I mean, I do. From a distance.
that was a funny way to say that phrase.
Yeah, thank you. Is there any other cards you want to talk about before we wrap up this excellent episode?
Yes.
This mucus-filled episode.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, guys. 2 more cards. Blood Operative.
Yes.
It is a 3 mana, 1 black for a 3/1 with lifelink. It enters the battlefield, and you get to exile target card from a graveyard. So why? I think it's more just like a... Like, he's an assassin, so it's just like a
also,
flavorful
if graveyards are going to matter...
Yeah, but, I think it's more like a flavorful thing.
It's attacked on.
Kind of like your dude that you hate has, like, Surveil 1. It's like, yeah, but why? Mm. Like, why does he have Surveil 1? Like, that's not... Do more. Do more things. Don't just yeah. do the one. Like, it's not enough. But anyways, it has this other thing. Whenever you Surveil, if Blood Operative is in your graveyard, you may pay 3 life. If you do, if you choose to accept... Return Blood Operative to your hand.
Oh, dude, Creeping Chill plus this guy?
Forget about it.
You're going to surveil it. You're going to already
gain surveil
that 3
2.
Life.
Wait, what's Surveil 2? What's a good card that Surveils 2?
I don't know, but you Blood Operative and Creeping Chill into the graveyard.
So I Price of Fame your Lyra, okay? My Price of Fame is an instant that costs 2 less because it's a legendary creature I'm targeting. I destroy target creature... I surveil, all right? When I surveil, I hit Creeping Chill and, what is this thing fucking called? Blood Operative. I pay 3 life while getting Blood Operative back, and then I fucking get the other one for free, which gains me 3 life, so I fucking net 0, and you lose 3 life.
And you get Blood Operative back in your hand.
I gain a 3/1 into my hand. You lost 3 life, lost your Lyra, all for 2 mana. 1 in a black kills your Lyra, does 3 to you. It's like the ultimate lightning
buy them now, kids. Foil Creeping Chills. That's what's up.
Yeah. Absolutely. And misprinted Blood Operatives.
Yeah.
And that's it. So, okay, last one is this Aurelia, Exemplar of Justice. It is an Aurelia, so it's like a fucking Boros crazy commander angel thing with like all kinds of red and shit all over. It is a 2/5 flying angel for 4 mana. With Mentor, remember kids, Mentor is whenever this creature attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on target attacking creature with lesser power. So you do that, and then also, at the beginning of combat on your turn, choose up to 1 target creature you control, could be itself,
Until end of turn, that creature gets +2/+0, and it gains trample if it's red and vigilant if it's white. So let's just say you just have this guy, this girl, this them, they, Zimzer. At the beginning of combat, this thing becomes a 4/5 flyer that has trample and vigilance. And if you have other creatures out, you can pump them with this guy, give them +1/+1 because, you know, mentor. Or instead, you go, fuck it, I'll just give this other thing +2/+0 trample and vigilance or whatever the stats are. So, yeah. I mean, because it's 4 mana, this thing's going to see play. Like, for hey, sure, it's going to see play. What?
Mentor, when this creature attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on target attacking creature with lesser power. Never mind.
What
itself? I thought you could put it on itself because it has the least power, but it's not like the other...
Yeah, whatever that one was.
Yeah.
The support. Not support, the other fucking one.
Yeah. Never mind.
You almost got me, though.
I know, I almost got myself.
Umami.
Ooh.
Umami.
Umami, I love you,
boy. Umami, I love your taste on my buds.
So savory.
No, okay, wait. There's actually one more fucking card that just got spoiled a little bit ago. And it's not like I actually give a shit. It's more like, what? Okay, Swiftblade Vindicator, I believe. Yeah, Swiftblade Vindicator. It's 2 mana, red and white, for a 1/1. Okay? We're doing great. But it's got Double Strike, Vigilance, and Trample. Like, Jesus Christ.
Who the fuck does he think he is?
So, of course, it's just like, I don't know, put anything on it. Like, attach any equipment to it. Like, maybe bad equipment is, like, playable. What about that fucking one that makes knights that you beat me down with the other day?
Oh, yeah.
Like that. Like, you have a 3/1 with Double Strike, Vigilance, and Trample. So you're attacking for 6 and creating a 2/2 every turn. It's probably not realistic. But I'm saying that, like, this card is going to be a real fun not tier 1 deck. Or not tier 1 card, but it's fucking cool.
Not as cool as Charging Badger. And I would like to take a minute to talk to all of you right now about the Charging Badger Society that us at If Lands Could Kill, we support. And no, we do not want your money. We want your time, your love, and appreciation so we can make a brighter future for Charging Badger. Umami, the badger. It's like amen.
Umami.
Yeah, umami to you too. We lift up our badgers. We lift them up to the umami.
And umami. U-M-A-M-I, a category of taste in food, corresponding to flavors of glutamates, especially monosodium glutamate,
MSG. Yeah, so savory, homie, like proteins.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Savory. Sweet, sour, salty, bitter.
Umami.
Umami.
So thank you guys for listening to this very special episode of If Lands Could Kill. We're back. This is not a one of. This we're back.
This is a two of.
We're back until we leave again for 6 months. But if you happen to take that Wizards of the Coast survey and throw our name in there, you know, there's a foil Charging Badger signed on its way to your PO box.
No, it's not.
Right now.
It's not going to be foil.
It's not. Way it's not expensive. Foil?
I don't know, man. Who cares?
I'm pretty sure I bought a stack of them.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah, probably. I think I have a bunch of foils, yeah.
This episode was brought to you by Kleenex. Are you recording a podcast? Do you not want to get boogers over the microphone? Then buy some Kleenex.
Kleenex. Trusted care. 82-ply tissues. Call 1-800-553-3639.
And that's Kleenex for all your nosy needs.
Stop being so nosy.
Right, but thank you guys for listening in. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at knife_city. Hot sauce is at Tay Hot Sauce.
T-E-H Hot Sauce.
And
Hot Sauce.
You can find both of us and the podcast at If Lands Could Kill with 1L because fuck it, there's too many letters in our fucking name. And that's been it. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you guys next time.
Love you. You gonna give me the boom boom? How? Where does it go? Doom doom. No, just do it with your mouth. It's funnier that way.
But then it just sounds like
you're gonna delete it. You can take it out afterwards. It's fine.
CIS. Doom doom.
Yeah. You should take it out afterwards. That's fine. Okay. You ready?
Okay. Doom doom.
No.
No doom.
No doom doom.
All right. Give me the take one. In 2010, a heavy medi cop... Ah, I fucked up already. Mm. See, okay. Here we go.
Rolling. Take two.
In 2010, a heavy medi cop... Heavy medi.
Medi.
Heavy meta.
Medi.
Okay, go ahead.
Rolling. Take three.
In 2010, a heavy meta copycat was sent to prison by an LSV fan cast. Thank you very much, Jan.
What's up, buddy? You just totally ruined Jace's momentum with his recording. It was great. It was...
In the Homelands Booster Pack. And don't forget...
She put someone sounds like Mickey Mouse.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Magic with Zuby. My name is Zuby. This week on Magic with Zuby, we'll be talking about a little well-known card game called Magic the Gathering. My name is Zuby. I wish I could hold it together on that one. No, I gotta do it again now. Hold on.